Blog Talk Radio.
Your time has come. My mind is going back to a story a Baptist preacher told me about death and a beautiful lady. He said that was a lady and she was so beautiful that everybody loved her. And people would come from miles around to see her dance. People loved her so well she didn't even have to lock her door. And you know folk got to love you if you don't have to lock your door, my friends. So one day, while she was sitting in her powder room, looking in a mirror, she began to brag. She said, "My, I'm pretty." And while she was sitting there, somebody walked up and knocked on her door. She said, "Come on in, whoever you are." And the man got on inside. It was a tall man with a long, cold face. She looked at him. She said, "Who are you?" He said, "My name is Death." She said, "Oh, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
I'm not ready."
She kept on saying, she said, "I'm not ready. I don't have my business fixed." She said, "I'm not ready." Death said, "Come now, lady. I didn't come for you." He said, "I was in the neighborhood. I got old Bob. He's been sick a long time to live next door. He said, but I heard so much about you that I thought I would drop by to see you." Then he looked at her. He said, "My lady, you're pretty." She said, "I know it." He said, "And everybody loves you." She said, "I know that too." He said, "But did you know one day, I'm going to come back for you." She said, "Just give me a warning and let me know." And then Death went on his way. Way after a while, Father Time began to move in. And the stars that Mother Nature had created, she had to go downtown and get some makeup to go in the wrinkles on her face. She had to go downtown and get some dye. She had to get some false teeth. Way after a while, by and by, she began to sit down and look at herself again. She said, "I done got old now, but I'm still pretty. These eyeglasses, they become the makeup covers the wrinkles in my face." But while she was sitting there, somebody walked up and knocked on her door. She said, "Come on in, whoever you are." I mean, that man got on the inside. It was Death. She said, "Mm, it should be. You must have been in the neighborhood."
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. We hope and trust that you all enjoyed our little introduction about Death.
Amen.
And the beautiful angel. I really hope and trust that at a point in time in your life, you would take the time out to go and truly listen to the whole song. But just a little bit that we heard, we see that our time is not permanent here on this earth. Yeah, hear what she told him. Did you hear the deal she tried to make with him, sisters and brothers? She says, "Would you give me a warning? Just give me a sign." And as you listen to it, you'll see where she had to go downtown and get makeup to cover the wrinkles in her face. She had to get some glasses. The eyesight wasn't what it used to be. I look at that phone, I listen to it, and I think about myself. There was a time I could run a 4.440, and now I do good if I run a 6.440. There was a time I was considering walking from Chicago to Mississippi for a fundraiser. Now I don't care to walk from one side of my truck to the other. Those footsteps, they got a little short. And as time progressed, they get a little shorter. I sent out a video of my pops. I was looking at him this morning as he was singing. He was dismissing the church. But he could only stand up for so long, and he had to sit down. Those legs is not as strong as they used to be. Now, I'm saying all that just to say to my sisters and brothers that there's going to come a time that we're going to have to cash our tickets in. You know, those songs say, punch your ticket now. Our day is coming after a while. There's going to come a time that our day is coming. Brother D got a day. Brother Dog got a day. Monty, Sister Mary has a day. Brother Tim, we all got a day. Our time has been predestinated for us. You know, the Bible has instructed man to honor their mother and their father, that their days might be longer among the land that I give them. See, I like that because he said they might be. He didn't guarantee that. He said they might be. He didn't promise man that. He said they might be. You can shorten your days as well. A disobedient child don't live out their days. Death and the beautiful angel. The song goes on to say that everyone loved her till she was so pretty. And when I listen to that song, Sister and Brother, I think about Hosea, how the Lord instructed him to go marry Gomer, which was nothing but a whore. But everyone in town loved her. That's us. That's us. There's going to come a day that we're going to have to leave here. And then he goes on to ask, the songwriter goes on to ask the question. He said, are you ready? See, that's, out of everything that the songwriter said, the most important part that I got out of that was when he got to the part where he says, are you ready? See, because when we tell you these things about there's going to come a time that your day going to come, will you be ready? And you all have heard me say this many, many times before. I went to see a real good friend of mine. He's like a father to me. Young man, Monty, knew him well, by the name of Lord Ray. One of the greatest gospel singers ever seen. And he was preparing to cross over to the other side. Tears began to form in my eyes, just laying there looking at him. He said, boy, don't cry for me. He said, I got my business fixed. And I've never forgotten that to this very day. Do you really know? She says, will you give me a warning? Will you give me some signs and let me know that you're on your way at me, death? Because, see, what Dev said, I came at O.D. down the street. He'd been sick a long time. I came at him. I come at Sister Marion down the street. I'm going to grab Bro Tim on the way back. Bro Dog, I'll be back next month to get you. But she want to know, will you give me a sign?
Mm-hmm.
Will you give me a warning? And I remember Lord Ray telling me, he said, I got my business fixed. And I go through that because, see, if you got your business fixed, oh, nobody wants to live. Everybody wants life longevity. But when you can say you got your business fixed with the Lord, I'm not worried about no sign. I'm not worried about no warning because I know that one day he going to call the roll. And I know when he called my number, I won't have to worry. I won't have to cry because the Bible has instructed man after death, he said, comes the judgment. And when I stand before a judge, I'm going to hear him say, well done. You know, he said to me, well done. Is that good?
All Lord Ray was
telling me when he was preparing for his crossover. He was telling me, boy, I'm going to hear him say, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. He was telling me how you've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you a minute. He said, don't worry about me. Don't cry for me. I got my business fixed with the Lord.
All right, man.
In the name of Jesus. You just said something, you could tell them you got your business fixed with the Lord.
That's right.
See,
that's right.
She was so busy living the street life, doing what she wanted to do, until she started crying when she realized who he was. But then when he told her, he's I didn't come at you. You see how she calmed down? Then she wants to give her a warning, give me a sign. See, what you want to do, you want to continue on doing what you're doing until you're ready to come in. What the Bible has told me, man knows not the time nor the hour when I shall appear. He said, I come as a thief and a robber in the midst of the night.
Well,
so if God had a told man and allowed man to search the scripture to find out exactly when his death date would be, I believe within my soul, Brother D would probably do whatever he wanted to do until a few days before that day comes. And then I'll try to get right with the Lord.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? then I go and try to get. But see, you ever seen the, I mean, Mark Lawson, you've seen the song, say, I'm sending up my timber. See, I won't be to send up any timber because I done gave Satan all my time. But now when I realize at 102, he going to call me home. So around 100 to 101, I'm going to run to the church and try to be the best deacon I can be. I heard a young man tell a story one time. He says that the deacon told him, he said, I don't do this no more. I'm not a womanizer no more. He said, you're blind. Another young man told him, he said, well, Pastor, I don't chase women no more. He said, you're in a wheelchair. I don't smoke like I used to. You can't. You know, in other words, I don't do the things that I used to do. You're too old now. So now you want to run and give Christ your life. You done rock good at all your life. Oh, in the name of Jesus. You ought to tell God thank you today. You ought to just tell God
thank you
for allowing us to still be among the land of the living and not the dead. We ought to tell God thank you for keeping us here a little while longer. We ought to tell God thank you for how he watched over us as well as our family while we slumbered and slept all night long. We all just tell God thank you. We all just give him a hand clap right now and just tell God thank you. Because he's been just that good to man. You know what I'm saying? He's been just that good to man. He's been so good
us
until he allowed us to congregate together once more and again today on this lovely Tuesday. One that we've never seen before and one that we'll never see again. God has allowed us to come together one more time. I heard a songwriter said a long, long time ago, one more time, one more time. He said, I'm just glad to be in the service one more time. You ought to just be glad to be in the service of the Lord one more time in the mighty name of Jesus. My soul cry out, hallelujah, when I just think about how good God has been to me. I was so blessed this weekend. Young man called me out of Memphis. I'm sure he will. I would hope he know. I'm just crazy anyway. My brother Wick called me this weekend. A lot of the guys just listen. You all know him as the 901 boys. His grandbaby was shot while she was in her mother's belly. Jeez. And we never, ever ceased to praying for her. And he called me Saturday. He FaceTimed me Saturday to let me see my baby. I got a chance to actually talk to her. And I told her, I said, I love you, girl. I pray for you. And she said, I love you, too. that brought tears to my eyes because I know what she could have been. And I realized that there's a God. There's a soul-saving God. There's a healing God. There's a forgiving God. In the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes, it is.
God looked beyond. Now, you know what I said to you? She was shot while she was in her mom's belly. But the Lord looked before her. He said, look here. Although that happened to you. He said, Brother Wick, don't cry. He said, I get her. She's in my arms.
Right now.
You can't pluck her out. I looked at her and said, I said, look at my baby. She gets so big. I just look at her. And it just brings tears to my eyes when I think about that little child. I pray for her all the time. Because God is able. God is just able. We had a situation yesterday where we was praying for one of our race and friends, one of our sisters, Sister Liz and Missy. Now, in man's eyesight, she's in a troubled way. But in God's eyesight, it's just an opportunity for him to show up and show out. You know, just an opportunity for God to show up and show out. See, he likes to show out in man's life. All we got to do is call up on him. If we would just humble ourselves and seek his face. That's what the word said. He said we would just humble ourselves and seek his face. He said if we would just turn from our wicked ways.
Yeah.
Seek Christ. He said then he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal the land. God is in the healing business, sister and brother. Oh, he's in the healing business. He never run out of miracles. See, we can have billions and billions of dollars and run out. God never runs out. He's always, thank you, Jesus. he's always in the healing business. All you got to do is call up on him. When my baby was shot, we called up on the Lord, and I prayed day and night, Lord, please heal this child. Please, Lord, heal this child. I don't know how old my baby is now, but she's a big old girl now. Why? Because God is still charged. God is still healing. God is still blessing.
He's
still able. Oh, he's able. Brother, you're going to get out of here. I don't help you all too long. When you all get a chance, go listen to my song, if you will. It's called Death and the Beautiful Angel, recorded by Slim and the Supreme Angels of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. At this time, I'm going to ask my brother if he will whisper a word of prayer if he's on with us. We'll lead us in a word of prayer. After prayer, you're going to hear the speaker give us something real good out of the 66. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I got a chance to have breakfast this morning. My breakfast is starting to join it away. It's time for dinner now. So I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. He told John, he said, eat it. Oh, it may be bitter going down. He said, but it'd be honey in your belly. I want my belly to be sweet right now. I want to taste and see. Amen? Amen. Brother Tim, if you will.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just take time out to come and say thank you, Lord, for being our God. We come by, Lord, just to say thank you because you've been so good and we're so merciful. Father God, we are thankful that you allow us to see that you're still in the miracle-working business. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just expect nothing less from you, Lord, but the greatest and the best. So we say thank you, Lord, for all that you do for each and every one of us. Now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you would saturate our hearts, our minds, and our soul, and our spirit with your word today, Lord. Let your word just flow through us like a river of living water. Lord God, we just ask that you anoint the speaker with wisdom, understanding, comprehension, and revelation. Let it be known that it can saturate our intellect, but then let it be simple enough that a child may understand it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this program. We thank you for all the study, and we thank you for the time allotted here today. So now, Lord, we're just going to dive in. You said in your word that we can gorge ourselves with your word. We don't get enough of your word. So, Lord, we just say thank you for this meal. We just ask that you make it, make good gravy out of it, Lord, that we can just sop it up, Lord. We say thank you for your word. Now, Lord, we put the word in that you have allowed us to hear today, Lord. We say thank you in advance. Bless our teacher, our instructor today, Lord. Allow the word to just flow out of her and that we'll be able to accept it in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we turn it over to Sister Marion, and we just say thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to you, Sister. Sister Marion, in your hands.
Amen. Amen.
First, I give honor to God, to his son, Jesus Christ, to the Holy Ghost, to each and every one listening name by name, Brother D, Brother Tim, Brother Dahl, to each and every one listening today. Truly, I thank God for this day. I thank God for life, health, and strength. I thank and I praise God for being God and God all by himself. I thank and praise God for, I think I heard Brother D said he's a miracle worker. And brothers and sisters, you better believe he is a miracle worker. And I just thank and I praise God for that because he's so merciful. He's so loving. He's everything that we need. I thank and I praise him. I thank and I praise God for each and everything that he do for us. Each and every day he allows to wake up in the morning. Each and every night he allows us to go to sleep and slumber and sleep, and he keeps us protected while we're asleep when we're traveling up and down the dangerous highway, Father God. And I just thank him for it. And I thank God for this service on today. I thank God always for Brother Dog for all that he do to try to get the word out about Jesus. He wants people to hear about Jesus. And what I loved about it, he wants himself to hear about Jesus. That's a blessing all by itself. And I thank him, thanking I praise God for we realize when we give the word, not only is the word for you, the word is for us as well. And I just ask you to pray my strength in the Lord. So we're going to talk today from the first chapter of Samuel. First Samuel and the first chapter. Glory be to God. And you know, as I was reading that, and I'm going to use for a thought. When we make a promise to God, do we keep it? I'm going to repeat that. When we make a promise to God, do we keep it? Glory be to God. Oftentimes we make a promise to God, God, if you do this or if you give me that, I will serve you to the day I die. I will do this and I will do that. I'll praise you. I'll go to church. I'll do that. And as soon as God gives it to you, which he already know what you're going to do, as soon as he gives it to you, then you forget all about the promise that you made to God. But you know what we got to remember, brothers and sisters? While we don't keep our promise to God, God got that on record. And he will judge you for the broken promise that you promised to him. How can we promise
yes,
God
will.
Something
yes,
and don't keep it? That
yes,
is a frightening thing. How can we promise the Almighty God anything and don't keep it? And I know before we got saved, all of us have did it. But you know, for any promise I've ever broken to God, I ask God to forgive me. And that's what we all should do. Because we have told God, God, if you give me this, I'll that, I'll that. And we didn't do it. But you know what? God is so loving. He's so merciful. He leave us here to give us a chance to repent of our sins. So we're wanting to know today, if you make a promise to God, do you keep it? Or when you make a promise to God, do you keep it? So now we're talking today on 1 Samuel 1 and 1. And I'll be skipping around because I will get to the part of the promise that was kept to God. Okay, now we're talking about a man. He was a Mennonite, and basically he was a Levite. Okay, and he lived in Ramathaim Zophim, and that was in the mountain of Ephraim. Okay, and his name was Elkanah. Now, Elkanah was a man that worshipped and served God. Elkanah married, had a wife. Now, when I researched it, it brings Peninnah's name first, but then I see why. He actually, excuse me, he actually married Hannah before he married Peninnah. But the thing is, see, he married Peninnah because Hannah was barren. Hannah could not have children. But Peninnah had many children for him. So what did she do? She reminded me of Haggai and Sarah. She made fun of Hannah because Hannah couldn't have any kids. She laughed at her. She talked about her. She mistreated her. She was jealous of her because Elkanah loved Hannah more so than he loved Peninnah. Peninnah was the one he had to carry his children because Hannah was barren. And you know, when you look at that, this woman having all these kids, but his heart belongs to Hannah, yes, she was jealous. But see, she did not realize or did not care. You know, when we call ourselves don't like people, we don't care if we hurt their feelings. We don't care if they cry. We don't care if they're begging. We just don't care because we've made up our mind that we don't like this person. So in Peninnah's case, she did not like Hannah because Hannah was the love of Elkanah's life. He loved Hannah. So Elkanah would go up each year and give offering to God. So each year in worship and sacrifice to the Lord. So that tells me right there, he was a Levite anyhow. But this is letting you know how much he loved God and how determined he was to do the will of God. It's not just one year that he went. Actually, that was three-fifths feast that they had to go through because he was a Levite. He was a minister. So there were three, and he went every time he had to go. So Hannah was so upset over this. Elkanah couldn't quite understand. You know, sometimes men is a little dense and they don't quite get it. So he wanted to know, what's wrong with you, our Hannah? See, when he went up, to sacrifice unto the Lord, he gave Peninnah, and he gave her children. But Hannah, he gave a double portion of the sacrifice. He gave her a double portion. He gave her more than he gave Peninnah because he loved Hannah. And that was his way, I guess, of making up for trying to show her the fact that she didn't have any children. It didn't make any difference to him. He asked her the question. He said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? That showed his love for her right there. But the thing remained every day she had to put up with Peninnah talking about her, embarrassing her, laughing at her because she couldn't have any kids. But see, this happened at just the time that God needed him a prophet anyway. So I invite ever tell us, you know, oftentimes when we get upset, when things don't go the way we think they should go, when people talk about us, we, the different in us and Hannah, Hannah went to the altar and prayed to God. Our Bible tells us that she was at the altar praying, and Eli looked at her, Eli the prophet, who was overseeing the temple, who lived in the temple, saw her praying, moving her lips, but no word was coming out. So what did he do? He goes to her, he says, he asked her, why is she drunk? Why are you here drunk? He says, stop drinking. Get yourself together, basically. But she said to him, my Lord, I'm not drunk. She said, I'm praying to God. My heart is grieved. My soul is heavy. I'm praying to God. I'm not drunk. So when she told him that, and let me get to that verse and what I like about it, and she never told him what she was praying about. She didn't say at all. But he said to her, he said, go in peace, and the Lord of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Now, mind you, he didn't know what she asked, but he had faith in God to believe that this woman up here crying, acting like she's drunk, trying to get to God, he believed that God was going to hear her prayer. How often do we pray to God and believe in our heart that God hear our prayer? Now you think about it. When Hannah went to the temple and began to pray to God, she was praying with everything that was in her. She was laying everything on the line. She was humbling herself. She submitted herself to God. She believed that God would hear her prayer. She believed that God would give her a son. And see, that reminded me when I was reading that of Abraham and Sarah. See, the only difference in Hannah and Sarah, Hannah went and prayed. But Sarah took it upon herself to try to help God. You know how we try to do? We're going to do God's work for him. Now, I don't know where we get that crazy preconceived idea that we can do things for God. We can make things happen for God. No, we can't. So Sarah do? Sarah gave her maid Hagar to Abraham, and she bare him a son. So Abraham didn't understand or didn't think back to what God said when he told him, your seeds will be blessed. Abraham thought he was talking about Ishmael. God told Abraham, your seed from your bowels, from your wife. It's Abraham's seed. Now, God took care of Ishmael, but the promise was to Isaac. The promise was not to Ishmael. The promise was to Isaac. And in Hannah's case, Hannah went to the altar and she prayed her heart out, asking for a man child. She said to God, now this is the promise right here. She said to God, she said, if you give me a man child, she said, I will give him back to you.
Come on.
Be to God. Even though she wanted a child, a very unselfish woman. She wanted to please God. And she knew that that child came, would come from God. So she was not going to selfishly keep him to herself. See, God had a purpose for that child. That child, God had a purpose for him. Samuel's purpose was to be a prophet, to judge the children of Israel. And the time had came for Samuel to be born. But see now, the promise is not to Peninnah and her kids. The promise, or God's looking for a prophet, was not for one of Peninnah's kids, but for the one that Elkanah had married and the one that he had loved, Hannah. So that's the one that God had chosen, though she was barren, to bear a son. That's all she wanted from God, for him to give her a son. She was tired of being talked about. She was tired of being laughed at. She was tired of being abused. She was tired of being scorned, and she felt like she knew that God was the only one that could open her mouth. Nobody else could do that. So she went to the one who could help her. She prayed unto God, and she asked for a man child. Lord, if you give me this man child, I'm going to give him back to you. I'm going to lend him to you for all the days of his life. Glory be to God. See, God knows our heart, and he knew the sincerity of Hannah. He knew she meant everything that she was saying, and he knew that she was going to do exactly what she said she was going to do. Glory be to God. So what did God do? Elkanah knew Hannah. And Hannah became pregnant. She became with child. Glory be to God. And it doesn't go on through the part where she was pregnant and all that. But then when she had the baby, and when Elkanah went to the temple, she wouldn't take the baby right then. She said, let me wean him. Let me wean him, and then we'll take him to the temple. But now look at Elkanah. He, whatsoever Hannah wanted, was okay with him. He knew she was going to take that baby to the temple and leave him forever. And it was okay with him because that baby had a job to do. That baby had to be the judge over Israel. That baby had to be God's prophet. That baby had a job. So that baby had to grow up in the way of the Lord. And the way for him to do that was to grow up in the temple with Eli. Glory be to God. See, when God call you, when God have a call on your life, see now, Samuel had a call on his life even before he got into his mother's womb. Isn't it awesome how God can do things? See, that's where we say that God sees down through he sees through the future. He already knows all of us even before we even thought of in our mother's womb. So Samuel had a purpose for his life. See, God put people here to do his work that's going to stick with him, that's not going to turn back. Oftentimes, we call ourselves. God don't call us. we call ourselves. But if we choose to do right and keep God's commandments and keep God's word and don't go astray and don't listen to the devil, don't go out there in that world, you know what? You can be saved for the works that you do. As long as you're pleasing to God. So after she weaned him, she took him to the temple. This is where she kept her promise. See, she had already said that he would never drink anything strong, and he would never cut her hair off his head. Now, that was her vow to God. Now, in verse 10 and 11, it says that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sorely. So and when you look at that, you just imagine the pain that she was feeling, the agony that she was feeling because she was tired of being laughed at, talked about, and mistreated. She was tired, and all she wanted was just one man child. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me. Glory be to God. Look at you talking to God. See, she's thinking God might have forgotten about her, but she said, Lord, if you would just look at my affliction and remember me. And not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, that I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Glory be to God.
Come on
see,
now, come on now. Tell it, tell it.
God. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, she already knew how she was going to raise this child. It's not her that was going to raise it. It wasn't God who was going to raise that child. She just wanted God to give him to her. Because she was barren and she wanted him to take the same away from her. See, back in those days, you couldn't have no kid. People looked at you as shameful. Glory be to God. While people looking at you as shameful, they know you have any control over what God shut up. If God closed it, no one can open it. God opened it and no one can close it. But he shut her vows up for such a time as this. At this point, he needed a prophet. And glory be to God. And Hannah gave him one. He gave her the seed that she needs. She had that baby. Glory be to God. And she kept her promise to God. Okay. So and let me go on just a little bit further. Okay, when he went back to the temple, she wanted to wean the baby. But when that time comes, and of course you knew they took the bullock and everything they took to the house to offer a sacrifice unto God. And she said, Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman. This is what she went to Eli and said, the prophet in the temple, because she knew that Eli would remember her. But she went to him. And she said, Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked account. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord and worship the Lord there. See, Samuel would know, no, he could not drink any hot liquor or anything because his father did, because his father was a Levite. Couldn't drink anything off the vine. And see, when the Bible say anything off the vine, couldn't even eat grapes. And you know why? Because grapes are used to make wine. Even corn and the husks that cover the corn is used to make liquor. So they couldn't drink or do anything like that. The only thing that this baby would do is the work of God, to serve God, to prophesy to the people where God sent him, to worship God, and to judge God's people, the children of Israel. So I ask the question again, do we make promise to God and keep them? Even right now, and we know God now, glory be to God. How often do we tell God, Lord, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Lord, I promise you I'm going to do better. Lord, I promise you I'm going to go to church. Lord, I promise you I'm going to love my enemy. Lord, I promise you I won't mistreat this brother or sister because they mistreated me. How many of us make that promise to God and keep it? Glory be to God. In our mind, it's not easy to keep. That promise in our mind is not easy to keep. But when we submit ourselves to God, when we really, really, really know God, then we would begin to fear him and know if we don't keep this promise that we made to him, if he so choose, he can wipe us off the face of the earth. What our Bible tell us, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. When we fear God, we're going to do everything that we can to get it right. When we don't fear God, we don't care. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, don't be like the woman in the song. Don't do your thing to the point that you forget about God and your focus is on the world. God don't want your focus on the world. God wants your focus on him and heaven. Glory be to God. God wants you to walk this earth upright before him and do his will and make it in so that you can be with him for eternity, and all the thing you have to do is praise him and enjoy eternity. That's what he wants. So when we make a promise to God, we should do everything within our power to keep it. How many of us fear God enough to know that if God so choose, he can wipe every man, every woman, every child from one end of the earth to the other off this earth? That's how powerful he is. So why would we make a promise to God and don't? Even when you see you don't keep it, you don't repent of it. You don't ask God to forgive you and give you strength to do the thing that you told him you was going to do. Don't you know God can help you through everything in your life? I don't care if you have a bad habit. He can help you through that and take it away from you. If you don't know how to treat your brothers and sisters, ask him to help you. He'll show you how to teach your brothers and sisters how to treat your brothers and sisters. All you got to do is ask. Because God is love. And he wants us to love just like him. He wants us to love him so much that we won't make an empty promise to him. He wants us to love him so much that if we make that promise, we do all we can to keep it. And if for any reason we can't keep it, then go to him and pray. And repent of that and ask him how to keep that promise, give you the strength to keep that promise. If we promise God to go to church, let us go to church. Because if we want to go out and enjoy ourselves, I don't care what day, what night, what time it is, we'll go. We can even be sick sometime and we'll still go. Glory be to God. But we, when it comes down to God, if we broke a fingernail, I'm sick, I just can't go to church today. Do we think God is pleased with that? Don't you know with God, all our promises are worth keeping because we seeking to be with him one day. We seeking to be saved, sanctified, filled with the precious Holy Ghost. But we continuing to not tell God the truth. We continue to lie to him and think he don't know it. Then God is not going to put his spirit in an unclean temple. And yes, his spirit is already in you, but he won't renew that spirit. We got to want it. We got to want to be saved. We got to want to get to know him. We got to want to please him. We got to want to see Jesus. We got to I can't even call his name, the red up to the sycamore tree and climb up. Because he wanted to see Jesus. How many of us want to see Jesus? How many of us want to keep our promise? We got to be like Hannah. We make that promise. And we got to keep it.
That's what Zacchaeus did.
So I thank God for this day. I thank God. This message is rather short, but you know what? It says a lot. It says a lot. It was all about God blessing Hannah in a hard time. It was all about Hannah's promise to God that she made, and she kept it. She took Samuel to Eli and left him there all the days of his life. When Eli died, Samuel became judge over Israel because that was his purpose. Purpose to be the judge, the prophet over the children of Israel. Glory be to God. Hannah may not even have known why she had to leave that baby there. She didn't feel bad about it because she knew God had given her what she asked. She may not have known why she had to leave Samuel at the temple. But she did it. You know, when God wants you to do something, he'll put it in your spirit so sweet and so nicely, and you do it, and you won't even know why, and you don't want even feel bad about it. Only thing you know, I did, and I thank God that I was able. So I thank God for this day. I thank God for the message on today, keeping your promises. to God. Whenever you make one, do whatever you can to keep it. And if you find you can't and it's not going right, go to God in prayer and tell God about it. How many of us go to God and tell him about our troubles when things not going right? When we make a promise to him, how many of us go and ask his forgiveness? Lord, I made that promise, but I didn't keep it. I didn't have what it takes to keep it. Glory be to God. So at this time, I do thank God for this message. I do thank God for each and every one that came out today to hear the message. And we came from the first chapter of the First Samuel, first chapter. You can read that. You can read the whole book of First and Second Samuel. People back then, when they did the will of God, they did not play about it. They did it with everything that was in them, with all sincerity and with the mind to please God. And that's what we got to do. We got to have that mind to please God. Back to your hand, Brother B.
Amen. Amen. I like that, D. He said he did it with the mindset to please God. That's man's shortcoming to this very day. We want to please self and not please the Almighty. And God is getting tired. Young man that I was telling you all about earlier, he sung a song that says, God is getting tired. God is getting fed up. So he's going to move his hand. And when God moved his hand, things started happening, sister, brother. Things started changing.
Amen. That's the truth.
When God moved his hand, God is getting tired of mankind. God is getting fed up of man disobedient.
All right.
Young lady says, if you give me a man child, I give him back. And then she went on to tell a man not a razor. Up on his head, you all know who that was. In the name of Jesus, God is so good to man. We thank the Lord today for the service. We hope and pray that something was said between the start and the finish, that you all will receive something out of the word today that would make you want to say, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to get to know this man that they keep talking about called Jesus? God is good to man. But God is getting tired.
Yes, he is.
So, brother, we want to drive that home to you that God is getting tired. If you heard the morning service this morning, you got a chance to hear it. God is getting tired. God is not going to keep on keeping on extending grace and mercy to man. He's not going to allow man to ride on mercy. He's not going to do it. He's just not going to do it. He's just not going to do it. He's just not going to do it. There will come a time.
Amen.
If you don't change your ways, God is coming back. The Bible says he's coming back to redeem man unto himself. And he's truly coming back.
And
we hope and pray that you all receive something. I tell you all the time, I want you to be glad to see us come and then glad to see us leave. So we truly have enjoyed ourselves today. As always, I know as for myself, I can speak for myself. I can even speak for Brother Dog. I know I can speak for Brother Tim. And I can also know I can speak for Marcy Ramirez, if you know. We have truly enjoyed ourselves today. And the reason we enjoy ourselves because it came out of 66. And we have found that, I heard my brother say this a while back. He said the Bible has been the number one selling book for so long. In order for someone else to be the number one seller, they had to take the Bible off the selling list in order for someone else to rank as number one. That it's just so many things that we could tell you or that you see that unfold in your life every day that tells you that you need to get to know this man called Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. We don't want you to be glad to see us come and then glad to see us leave. We hope and pray that you all have enjoyed yourself as much as we have. And if so, I can promise you something. If it's the Lord's will, not Brother D's will, not even Sister Mary and Brother Tim, not even Brother Dog's will, but I can make this promise to you. If it's the Lord's will, if you tune in tomorrow at the same appointed time. I guarantee Montoya, you'll hear some more of God's word. 5 o'clock Central Time, we have a service called an Hour of Reflection, where you can hear God's word. The Lord wants to show up and show out in your life, sisters and brothers, if you just give him a chance. Amen?
Amen.
At this time, we're gonna turn the service. I don't know if my brother, Brother Tim, if you're there. I don't know if Brother Tim's still with us. I know he was at work. I don't know if he's still
here.
No,
I'm here. I'm here, Dave.
Brother Tim is. At this time, we're going to turn it over to Brother Tim for a closing remark. And after Brother Tim, next voice you hear will be Brother Dog himself. Brother Tim.
Well, Brother D, I just wanted to say that I enjoyed the message and that, yes, when we make a vow to God, it's better to keep it than not keep it. And like you said, Brother D, I agree that God is getting sick and tired of extending grace and mercy to us, and then we don't even appreciate it. We don't even say thank you. And time is winding down, my brothers and sisters. So let's continue to feast ourselves on the word, let that word digest down on the inside of you. And we're so grateful for our teacher, instructor, speaker. About that, you know, we don't learn. He says that in the Bible, it says that the eunuch asked, how can I learn without a teacher, a preacher, to be able to teach? So we just say thank you. We appreciate it. Great work, great studying, and we thank you for all that you do. So back to you, Brother D or Brother Dahl, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Brother D, don't forget to close in prayer. Brother D,
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was going to close out, but I know Brother Doug will come back and always give us a few minutes. You know what? We're going to do it now. We're going to be obedient to the word. We're going to do it right now. We're going to whisper a word of prayer, and then we're going to turn it over to Brother Doug. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we come to you this evening. Father, we just want to tell you thank you for allowing us to come together once more again. For you said in your word, where two or three assembled in your name, that you will be in the midst. And we thank you for showing up today. We thank you for showing up and showing out through our speaker of the day, Father. We ask that you continue to bless us, continue to keep us, Lord, continue to guide us, continue to give us more strength, give us more knowledge and understanding of your word. Give us your word that we may give. We know that you're able, and we know that you can, Father. We truly ask that you continue to bless those that are sick, those that are shut in, bless those that have and have not. Continue to look upon them, Father. Touch these schools each and every day that we find killing is going on, killing is rap raising right now. But we know that you are God, and we know that you can speak, and man will lay down and die. We know that you can speak, and man will live. We ask that you speak a word in their minds right now, Father. Touch their hearts right now, that they will lay these guns down, stop all this senseless killing. Then, Father, we ask, Father, that you just touch in a mighty way. Touch in a way, Father, the only way that you can, Lord. For this world is in a dire need of healing right now. We need a more portion, more and more portion of you, Lord. We ask that you continue to guide us, continue to keep us, Lord. Shower down on us right now. We love you, Lord. We love you, we love you, we love you. In the mighty name of Jesus. If a heart say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we just thank God for Jesus. Brother, back to you. Thank you for the time.
Said if I don't make it in, it ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Said if I don't make it in,
a rider, Barbara the Rider. All right, Sister Mary, did you want to do your promotion for tomorrow?
Man.
Ain't nobody fought. That's your song, brother.
You
nobody fought with
me.
That's it, bro. No, that's it. Nobody's fault but mine. That cat know what song to play. In the name of Jesus, God, just bless him. Bless him.
Come on,
yes,
bless
him. Bless him. Yes, I can announce again. Be with us again on tomorrow night, same time, same station, for time for reflection. And as always, God has a word for you. And we thank you. God bless each and every one of you. Back to you, Brother Dawg.
All right. Nobody fought with mine. That Brother D song, he gave it to me many years ago. Come on, Tim House. Come on, Tim House.
She from Bro Tim's hometown, bro, dog. She from Bro Tim. That was she out of Detroit. That's a big Evelyn Turner team.
Amen. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, that was a little honor of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we appreciate it. And Sister Marion, we appreciate you. We'll see you tomorrow, God's will. If God's will, we'll see you tomorrow.
Amen. Y'all have a blessed night.
Thank you. God bless you. All right, guys, we're finna go ahead and get into this other thing over there. Tim, you doing all right there, Tim? You get a little rough this morning there. Y'all waking me up this morning. Come on in there, kids and wheelchairs. Don't body cold, whatever. Let's go and get this thing going there, folks. Tim, I'll get in trouble again. I'm about to re-record the shows and stuff. They called me this morning, woke me up. I was dreaming. I thought I was dreaming. Tim House, they woke me up. I thought I seen an angel. What's up, kid? How you doing, baby boy?
Good evening, everybody. Tim House. What kind of trouble you got in this morning?
I don't know. I stay in so much, I can't even differentiate between what's right, what's wrong. I just get towed all the time.
Lord, have mercy.
All right.
I got a strong line. I just got a rusty hook. That's all.
Uh-oh.
Said
hook or rusty hook.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got a strong line.
Just
got a rusty hook there.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, kid, I saw a joker put on Facebook just a while ago that the prices of everything going up. So, you know, some races $20. Some races are $30, some races are $40, $50. A guy was complaining that it's $30, and he don't see what's on the flyer. Now, to me, what does a flyer really supposed to tell you? What's supposed to really go on that's on a flyer that's supposed to tell you what's going on?
Well, nothing really, dog. You know, what's on the flyer is, you know, you're hoping that you see this or whatever. But see, I'm an advocate of... If I pay $20, $25, $30 to, you know, go see a race or whatever, as long as I get my money's worth, I'm satisfied. I don't have no complaints.
Okay. Well, hold up, kid. That's the problem. They said they wasn't getting their money's worth. What do you consider getting your money's worth?
Okay, if they just say for instance they got 10 locked in races.
Uh huh.
If I see about 8 of them, I'm pretty near satisfied. But if I
stop right there.
Okay.
Stop right there, Keith.
Okay.
Brother D, tell him about them 10 locked in races, Brother D, since you hit the one.
Once I pay my money to come through the gate, I'm satisfied right then. I'm satisfied.
Tell him about
Out of them 10
Talk
races.
Talk to me about them 10 lock-in races. Yeah.
Out of those 10 lock-ins, 12 of them such as not get off. So okay, I'm satisfied when I walk through the gate.
Yeah. So, kid, how can
no
you say that, kid? Because, you know, they don't guarantee no girls races, kid. So how can you say that, kid, if you see 10 lock-in races, kid? Talk to me. Because, see, now, kid, to be honest with you, that's what I'm talking about. How can somebody say they come to the track because they seen 10 lock-in races and they didn't see them? How can they say that when we know good races ain't? You might go to might have 50 locked in and might not see none. Talk to me, kid, because you brought it up. That was a good point you brought up, but I didn't know that was going to come from you, kid. Come on.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm generally not an advocate of grudge racing.
Well, that's what we're talking about now.
Because,
kid,
right. Because, like you just said, a lot of that shit don't never have to get off.
Right. So, kid, my point is if you do go to a grudge race, though, kid, you brought it up now. You said if I seen 10 locked-in races, which mean grudge races, and you seen 8 of them, you're satisfied. But what if you don't see none of them, kid?
Well,
what if you don't see none of them, kid?
I'm disappointed there because I was looking to see something for a month.
But, kid, how can you be disappointed and you don't see a grudge race when me and Brother D might decide not to race? Me and Tim might decide not to race. Me and
Tim
might not decide. How can you be disappointed because we don't race our stuff?
That's why you need your shootouts and shit to go along with that.
That ain't what I asked you, kid. I asked you the question, and you asked. I'm jumping on you. I ain't jumping on you, kid. But I'm discussing what you asked, kid. I asked you what's satisfied. You told me 10 races. If I see 8 of them, I'm satisfied. How can you answer that way, kid? How can you answer that way on a grudge event, kid? How can you answer that on a grudge event? That's what I'm trying to get at. When we all know, and then anytime you see somebody some damn grudge races, we don't never know what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
No damn grudge race.
That's true.
So you want to change that answer? You want to change that answer? When you go to track, what satisfies you, kid? You can't, if you use that example, that can't, I don't think that's a good answer for you. That example is a good example for your answer, kid. I don't. That's just me personally. Talk to me, D. Talk to me, Tim. Out. Anybody? Come on. Is kid in the right ballpark or the wrong? He took the wrong train.
Well, it's like I said, bro. Dog, yeah, we want to see every race is locked in and more, but we know there's too many variables that can happen to cause the race not to get off. Hurt the car, wreck the car, blow the engine, blow the train, or just simply don't want to race. Pay to park out.
So when kid answered that, is that a good answer for what kid said to be satisfied? Is that a good answer?
Yeah, I understand what he's saying. He's satisfied. If
I understand. Ernie, I didn't ask you what you understand.
No,
I asked you, is that a good answer to say you'd be satisfied?
to me, I wouldn't answer like that. I don't think it's a good answer.
No, I couldn't answer that. That's why I
said that. Caught on quote grudge race. Because, like I said, there's too many variables for him not to get off. If I see one car go down the track, I'm satisfied when I walk in because I know it's so easy for them not to race.
Okay. So now, D, the answer you gave was a – hold up, let me get each answer, kid. I mean, Tim. Now, Brother D gave a good answer, but D, I really don't believe you when you said that. I really don't believe that because you got to be with to that track to see something now, D. You had to go to that track to see something.
Yes.
Now you what made you go to that track?
I came to the track with a few things in mind, hoping to see some racing. But I'm gonna jump on Uncle Larry's word now. But I get a chance to fellowship with my brothers and sisters.
Okay.
I'm gonna do more of that than I'm gonna see a race.
You dress it up, okay? You dress it up, then. Okay, I can go along. You dress it up, then. All right. You put another suit on. I can live with that then. Because, like I said, when you said you walk in the gate now, and you had to go to that track there, well, I think Brother Tim going to be there. I want to see Brother Tim. If I don't see Nair racing, that is fine because I see Brother Tim.
I'm satisfied.
All right, come on, House. Put your
chance
with
Bobby Coles to get it.
That's kind of like what I wanted to say, dog, but it's a little bit of all of it. If I wanted to just see racing, I can go see class racing. I don't have to sit there and watch. I want to see the guys that's been talking smack and Tate and all them and Josh Lowe, I want to see them. And if I don't see it, no, I ain't feeling too good about it. And then I'm saying all that smack talking on the phone and running off as a beautiful car. I want to see them go up through there. And that's basically what I came there to see. Yes, I want a fellowship, but I want to see them race. That's what I want to see.
Right.
Them.
Okay, now, Tim, read my answer. Okay. Tim, everybody got a good discussion, good answers, even kids, like I said, because that's why we have the different people with different answers so we can have a discussion. See, the guy said he get tired of not seeing the action on the flyer. Now, if I got on my flyer that I got 10 locked in drug cases, and he go there to see that, and he say he disappointed, well, to me, he's not a smart man, a smart person, per se, because he know 10 locked in races don't mean nothing. It ain't worth, it ain't nothing, because we might not see now one of them. We might not see now one of them locked in drug cases. So how can you say, I'm tired of spending my money going to the track and not seeing what I see on the flyer? Now, saying that to me is not a good answer, seeing what I see on the flyer, because technically speaking, the flyer, yes, you put the flyer out there with your headliners, but ain't there, your headliners ain't, like Kid brought it up too, though, your shootouts is the fill-in for no racing, basically. But the headliner is to get, okay, you got Bubba D going to have the Buick there, Tim House going to have the Big Sulfur going there. Now, neither one of them show up, which is both Grudge cars. How can I get mad if they don't show up? Now, I might not like it, but how can I get mad?
May not like it, but I can't get mad.
I
may not like it.
Yeah. These Grudge
cars. Hey, dog, if I go to the track solely to see 10 Grudge races, I really should stay at home. Because I done been around this game. I done been around this game too long to know that it's so easy for them not to take place. I've been around this game too long.
Brother D, let's me and you let's turn this around now. We done this now. Me and you answered in Tim House and Kid. We answered with the people in knowledge. What about the general fan that just goes to sit up in the stand and maybe don't understand it? Are they getting cheated? Or that is are the shootouts for them? Talk to me, y'all. Talk to me. Are they getting cheated or what?
The shootouts, I think the shootouts fill in where there's a lack of, a need of. But a general fan, when they come to that gate, they go up in them stands, they eat and drink, and they be in mirror. That's what they're doing. And they're having a guts of fun, whether a cockroach on that track or not. Most of them are enjoying themselves just hanging out. And that's
you said a good answer, but you said one thing that went wrong. You said one thing I think as a general fan you said was 100% wrong. You said they don't care if they don't see no cars go down the track. Rephrase that statement because that's a wrong statement right there. Rephrase that statement.
No, is that what I said? I said they don't care if they don't see one?
Yeah, you said that.
I didn't complete that last one because I was trying to say that I don't care if they don't see one Grudge race. That's what I'm speaking of. If I didn't put that in.
Now we get on the right track.
I thought that's what I said.
No, you said you don't care if they don't see one car go down the track.
Yeah, sometimes
I'm glad he mentioned that. I ain't got to ask y'all no more. I'm going to say something because he answered basically what I wanted to get out was. Hold up, kid. Because a general fan, and I was going to say this, a general fan might not even know about this 5 or 10 good races. He might not even know Tim House. He might not even know Kid. All you want to do is see two cars going down that track, a general fan. So that's what I wanted to bring out, D. Y'all go ahead. Talk to me. Talk to me.
And you're right. Like I said, I left it out. It was an omission accidentally. It wasn't purposely done.
Right.
So true. A lot of them don't know Brother D.
That was one of the times he was wrong.
And it caught my family. I ain't always right. I wasn't wrong. It was just it wasn't completed. I'm just never wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you didn't tell me. My dad will never die. My grandfather will never die as long as I live. I'm too much like him.
Well, ain't nobody hit the one button. Even Will said it even hit the one button. Bought a cone and then hit the one button. Ain't nobody hit the one button today, so. You know, I can keep on talking. You don't talk all night. Let me see what it is.
Okay.
Last year or something to where it got rained out and a lot of guys hung around and barbecued and eating and having fun when there was no race? And then they just had one of those in Memphis.
Yep, last year.
Hold on, let me read it. Hold up, y'all. As a fan of you and a bunch of guys on the show, I know not to have expectation when going to a show. The shootouts are a great filler, and typically you get your money's worth with the shootout. Seeing Grudge get off is icing on the cake. Well said. That damn, he got a damn good one.
Well, now
somebody also said it's just like going to a heavyweight fight, kid. Keith, you go to the heavyweight fight, you get there and go, and you decide to go get you some popcorn, and you come back and the fight over.
He knocked out. You looking for a 15-round fight. Ali, you finished him off in three.
Uh-huh. Well, don't say Ali. You said Mike Tyson that knocked the man out. You didn't, man, I ain't
Tyson
going to let
him
go no more. So, good report. I'm glad.
Ali, you said if you want to go to heaven, I'll take him in seven. But you looking for 15 rounds. That was on your ticket, a 15-round fight. Yeah.
And that's
a perfect analogy of it, too,
Talk to me, Tim.
I was getting ready to say when Brother D was talking about it, I was thinking that the fans, they want to see the racing and all that, and they may not be as, you know, satisfied. But the drag racers, we understand, because just like this week, say I was supposed to race this week, I'm going to go to a funeral tomorrow, and I don't know what's going to happen the Tuesday and all that. I may not be able to make it, so I didn't expect that to happen. But the racers can understand. I'm going to call Brother D, say, Brother D, I had an unexpected thing. Can we reschedule it, or if you want to punk out, you know. So I got a problem, man, and I know I ain't going to be able to make it.
Hello?
I'm too far of a drive from. So that's what I was thinking. Racers understand that. Fans in the they want to see some action, and they get excited when they hear Trigger Man's name, Tate the Great coming. I think they like all that, you know. They want to see that kind of stuff, and they get let down, you know. I don't know who that is.
But you know something, bro, Tim. I remember Tate the Great coming on saying this a few months ago. Tate said a guy was talking about Tate the Great and the car and this and that, and he was talking to Tate. You know, and didn't know he was talking to Tate. Didn't even know he was talking to him. He was talking to him.
Let me start some stuff that I know it had to be something on the back line that went on that I don't know about. So I'm gonna ask this question, and I don't know if I'm gonna get in the middle of something or whether I'm gonna get in trouble or who's gonna do it. The question came in is, does a race car squat when it leaves the line? Does a race car squat when it leaves the line? Y'all wanna answer that question? I know the answer.
Well, a race car do not squat. I mean, that's been a debate that's been going on the last couple of days. But it doesn't squat. It gives off an illusion to squat, but it does not squat. We have said it for 100,000 years along with myself, but a race car do not squat. I've talked to – now, I didn't just take one man's answer. Of course, the guy that's doing – my man's been building cars 49 years. But I even called RJ today and talked to him also. You know, it's what people think. And those that
right.
think that, a lot of them going to continue to think that way, but they don't.
Okay, let me say this here. In this day and age, as we talking right now, I'm going to have to say they squat and they don't squat. Nowadays, not everybody got them radios on there, and they stand up in their ass. They stand up in their ass now and go down the track, but we still got people that ain't got them radios and got them high prices in shop, and they do squat. A car do squat and get on. That's how they do squat.
Negative.
I'm
going to
disagree with you.
Yeah, I mean, no, I understand that.
I like to hear
you're
the answer
because you're not on that train by yourself. You got a company on that, but it's negative.
You come Black Hornet. Squat,
come on.
We have anti. Anti-squat is for a radio car. Squatting is for a ProMod car with wheelie bars. To ride the wheelie bars, transfer the weight to the wheelie bars, keep the car coming up in the front, and there's a neutral zone with that also.
Y'all argue without fighting, because
well,
I agree that this car do fuck.
I'm not going to argue with it, and I'm definitely not going to fight.
No, we got
to
argue. It's a discussion. You said they don't squat.
Right. I've talked to three different professional chassis builders today. And all three of them have said the same thing. It gives off the illusion of squatting, but a car does not squat. The rear end is trying to push itself through the ground. which inverted makes it like it's pulling the body down. But a car itself, it does not squat. Your front end is trying to push
itself. If he said it like that, he's got to make it fit.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to let somebody else talk, Steve.
No, you made your point.
What I'm saying is, you made your point. Now I kind of look at it another way because I see what you're saying. It looked like it's squatting, but really it's trying to push itself off the ground. So that makes sense.
Right, it's a weight transfer.
Okay.
You know, dog, if I pull against you, and you pull back against me, you don't want to move, but I'm stronger than you. At some point in time, even though you're standing still, I'm going to start dragging you in the direction I'm going. And that's what a car does. That rear end pushes so hard to try to push yourself out the car until it's like it's pulling the car down. So we always say it's squatting, but the reality of it, it does not. And there's, you know, some going to not believe it, and some going to not believe it because I said it. But the truth of the matter is that it don't.
Hey, Willie Dog.
Yeah, Flop. Come on.
Let me say this. That question came up on our show, and it's really a loaded question, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when you say, does a car squat, typically you're going to say yes. But then when you go to referring to the two different parts, suspension-wise, a rear end probably ain't going to squat no more than the height it's at sitting on the wheels and tires that it's on. Maybe it's, you know, if the tires give, it'll squat, but it doesn't squat. But the body itself will squat and compress.
When
the shock.
When you said that second part, he kind of changed my mind now. I see when he explained it like that, I seen a different view.
Yeah,
what he's saying,
but if
we automatically think when a car pick the front tires up, it's squatting. We automatically think it's squatting, but technically speaking, the way
you have to, the reference is going to be, are you talking about the suspension or the body when you make reference to the car? And there's two different
things. I can't fight it now because y'all have got me in the middle of something. And the way D said it now, I got to admit, the way he explained it make me look at it another way now, the way he explained it.
I'm explaining it the way professional chassis builders explain it to me. See, like I said, Doc, what happened is that if I pull against you, you're not trying to come. You're trying to stay stationary. But I'm going to pull you down to me. That gives off the illusion of squatting. Your rear end is trying to push itself through the ground. And at some point in time, the body has no choice but to follow. So it's like it's squatting, but it doesn't. That's why I keep saying it gives off an illusion of squatting, but it truly don't. Now, three professional chassis builders have told me that today, even though
So, again, I'm going to go back to what's the reference point when you say does a car squat? Are you referring to the suspension or are you referring to the body? Because that's
body,
the deciding factor.
I'm on mute because I'm on mute now.
Because Mr. Flop, I was trying to figure out that if the shocks compress, and I do know that the rear end tries to twist out of the car, and I do know that the tires collapse sometimes. I don't know what part, you know, but I know the body stays straight. I don't know. I was listening to all that, and I was wondering when they say, does it squat? And then I was like, well, yes, no. I don't know which way it is. I don't know. So it does, all of it makes sense, but all of it doesn't make sense.
So. Right. Now, I know you have to take into consideration, like, I'm just picturing a car on the starting line. If you take a car on the starting line and you go to the front of it and you put a jack up under the front bumper, you can lift that car as high as you want. At some point, the rear end, now let's just be technical. Some parts of the rear end or the back of the car may never squat. But at some point, if you raise the nose of that car high enough, it's going to touch them willy bars if they're on the car, or it's going to scrape that back bumper. If you get it up 12 o'clock high, 11 to 12 o'clock high, it's going to touch that bumper. But that doesn't necessarily mean the car has squatted. Again, that's why the reference point mm-hmm. is going to be suspension or body. Because
Don't squat then. Now, these specifically said it don't squat. What are you saying?
But see, I'm saying cars squat. But see, my thing is this, dog. You can't make the dissemination without referring to what you're referring to as a car. Are you referring to the body? Yes, body squat. They go up and down. Suspensions, they may or may not. They may give a little in the tire, and you say, oh, this rear end was sitting at 12 inches high when we rolled it on 15-inch wheels with 28 tires. Well, it might go down to 14 and 7/8 just by the tire squatting, but not the actual rear end itself. So it's a real
I'm going to pull a BT. I got a headache, man. Y'all got my head hurt now. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because that's what I was wondering. It's a lot of variables. Like he said, when
yeah,
it tries to bust out, it pulls the body
just,
down.
Flop just made
or
sense.
Then you say,
he
is
just
the
made
shock
sense.
Collapsing, or is it?
Hey, let me show you this. Tim Howe.
I don't know.
Tim Howe. Let me give you.
Yes, sir.
Let me give you another scenario of a body squatting, because remember you used to talk about that big boo you used to have. Before you hit an anti-roll on it and you fire your nitrous mm-hmm. in there when it leaves the line, it will pick that left front up high as your waistline. What was that mm-hmm. right rear corner doing? Sitting down over the top of that tire.
Yep, sure did.
Oh, man, not the weight transfer.
But you'll say that the tire, you'll say the rear end or the suspension itself, if you're not counting shocks, never squatted. The rear end height may never change, but the shocks actually collapsed enough, compressed enough to cause what we call squat.
Ooh, wee. Yeah, it's rough here, man. We need a.
I got it.
Somebody to give us. So, yeah, I hear what D says, and I hear what you said, and like I said, I throw my hands up. I'm 50-50 because I understand a lot of it, but then it don't make sense because I don't know which way it's – I don't know. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you something else. Even like on Big Red, do you know they stiffened the shocks up so that it didn't. And it, I don't understand. I don't know. So, then you got other people saying that the rear end tries to twist out of the car. Then they say that the tires do the collapse.
That's that, again, Tim House, that's the difference between body and – actual rear end or slash suspension. Now, I ain't going to disagree with what he's saying as far as the suspension.
I don't know.
You can't argue my point and say they don't squat as far as the body. But you have to determine when you say, does a car squat? What are you referring to, the suspension or the body?
Mm-hmm. I'm with dog. Somebody give me an Excedrin.
Hey, dog.
Hey, man.
Dog, you're an old school racer. Did y'all used to put airbags in the springs?
They still do.
Oh, okay. What you putting that airbag in that spring for?
Well, I thought we were putting that so the car wouldn't squat so much.
Oh, okay.
Whether we believe it or not,
that rear end ain't squatting. That rear end ain't squatting. But that spring on
that's
top
another,
of that rear end is.
That's another misconception of what we put the airbags in for. That's been a misconception along with myself for years, too. We all thought it was designed to stop the car from squatting. But it's a misconception as well.
Talk to the DB, since you're the expert. Talk to me. I can't say you're wrong if you talk to me and make sense.
No, I'm a long way from being an expert now, but I talk to experts. I'm a long way from being that. I'm dumb on a bag of rocks with suspension, but I like to talk to guys that's been doing it for 40 and 50 years that I know what they're doing.
I can't argue somebody I don't know. That's one thing I can't do. I can't argue somebody I don't
airbag,
know.
Yeah. An airbag is actually use to keep this right rear spring stiff to try to prevent body roll, just like an anti-roll bar does.
Mm-hmm.
And body roll, as we know it is, when you pick that left front up about waist high and that right rear corner is down scraping the ground and sitting halfway down the, over the rim, they gonna call that squat.
Not the torque.
The body is squatting now. The rear end gonna probably, if you put a tape measure from the ground to the bottom of the rear end, it's probably gonna be sitting at the same height it was before the car even moved.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a couple of points.
Yeah, that's way now, above my
pay. I know.
Mine too, Tim.
I heard Junior said, so I can't steal the credit, but I know it to be true too. A lot of people got shock graphs and shock sensors, and it'll tell you if their car actually compresses past that neutral zone that it's sitting in when it starts.
A whole bunch of them got that block.
Yeah, when it compresses past what's set at the standard ride height, that compression is considered a squat. I'll say this. The rear end ain't really squatting. It ain't going to squat no more than the give in the tires. But the body is.
But the body don't give unless the shock gives.
Right. And it's, what's the shocks or the springs? What are they considered? Suspension. So then we got another variable. Does the rear end itself squat? Nope. But the components on the rear end, and the shocks and springs, they compress.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Anybody on this here show can come in and give some. Anybody on the show can give some more information or some more insight on this thing here? So right now we had a certain fear right now.
I don't know. I have no clue.
Yeah. Well, since y'all ain't got nothing to talk about, how about that LeBron James?
Well,
how about
the
Lakers?
What about him?
Yeah, go ahead and tell me about Michael Jordan. Go ahead and say something. Go ahead and say something. I'm waiting on you. Say something.
You said LeBron James. I just said, what about him?
No, you're a Michael Jordan fan, though. So I know you're finna
sure
talk about Michael Jordan. Yeah. We talking about the living, not the dead. Michael Jordan dead. LeBron James still living.
Damn.
I'm waiting on an argument. King James. Ball said, King me.
I just said, what about him? That's all.
He finally stepped up to the plate last night.
He ain't doing nothing I didn't expect for him to do.
Santa Shaw.
Damn.
Well, you're right. A superstar supposed to do what he's supposed to. That's right, though. He's telling the truth, though, man. If you're a superstar, you're getting paid them big bucks. That's what you're supposed to do. That's right, kid. You got to find that kid. Even though I know you was being a little sarcastic with it, but you got a point, though. Yeah. Man, where's Wheelchair and Bobby Colden at today? Ain't nobody here today? Man, because I'm tired too, man. I'm going to go there and jump in that whirlpool, man. My bones are aching, man.
Hey, dog.
I'm getting old, man. Yeah.
Maybe they doing the same thing Chemo did when Josh Lowe kept calling his name yesterday. Disappeared. Hiding in the bushes. Maybe hiding in the bushes, dog. Cause he's sure talking about getting the car ready.
Y'all want to know why Tim Miles always getting in trouble? Tim Miles just can't help it.
Man, Tim Miles said everything, man. He the little
man,
bad kid, man.
Tim Miles was he must have been a little bad, fat ass kid when he was growing up, man. Come on, he can't stay out of it. It's in his DNA.
Man, dog, I just get tired of hearing it. I'll do this. And I said, is your car ready? Yeah, my car's ready. or why you let Chuck come over in our neighborhood and take our money back to Chicago? Well, Josh Lowe,
how many times you gonna bring that up to him? How many times you gonna bring that up to him?
I was offended by that, dog. All these super racers and grudge racers, thugs and gangsters telling me that Tim House, you ain't nothing.
Tim,
you
almost a smart man. Hold up, Tim. Hold up, Tim. You almost a smart man. I knew you didn't hear that saying. Things you can change them. Things you can't do nothing about, don't worry about. Not
okay.
Tim. You in the position. You in the position to change what you're talking about now. You got a car that's capable of doing some damage to the man you're talking about. So what you waiting on, Tim?
Well, let me say this, bro, Tim. Timo ain't got no car.
We ain't talking about that. Brother D, will you be quiet when I'm asking Tim a question? Will you be quiet? Will you be quiet? I want to know about it. Quit changing the subject. Because I'm, you know, if I get a car that I think I can beat a Chuck with, I'm coming to his house, and he's got to call the police to get me off his lawn. So, but until the end, I ain't gonna sit there and do it because I ain't got nothing to mess with him with. But if I get a car to outrun him, I think I can outrun him, I'm gonna park on his front yard.
You got a point there, because you know Chuck from Chicago and he's a bad actor.
All I'm saying is, Tim House bring up that Chuck. That thing is really bothering him. He can change that. He can change that.
Yeah.
He can get that big son of a gun ready to go, get it tuned in, and go to Chuck's rear end.
Right. Now, Chuck can change it.
Yeah. So, you know, things you can change them. Things you can't do nothing about, STFU.
Or, you know, you go to Detroit Metro Hospital and get a heart transplant, you know, whatever, come first.
No. He need to go to Detroit Hospital first and get some bandages on his head where the motor horse jumped on him.
Oh, okay, Flop. I hear you, Flop.
No, it ain't like Chuck hiding. It ain't like Chuck
No, he damn sure ain't hiding.
I damn near
can see him from where I'm at. You know, he damn sure ain't hiding.
As bad as you talk about Chuck, and as much as you talk about him, if ain't nothing else, I might go over there and slap us out of the head with my hand then, because, Tim, I'm getting tired of you bringing up Chuck and ain't doing nothing about it, man.
I'm trying, though.
Huh? You trying?
Trying, dog. I really am. And like they did say, I did get injured. I was over there, and I was pulling the hoist over to me, and the leg went down, but... And then you put the pin through it to keep it so you can lift the motor. Well, I was pinning, it hit the darn extension cord, and the thing came down and whacked me upside the head, knocked my head set off, and rung my bell pretty good. So I said, today it's over with. I'm going home. That's enough for today.
See what happened. What happened there, Tim, was the old chain was hit you in the head. You said right?
No, the leg of the hoist, meaning the head.
Oh, and you ain't learned no sense yet to leave Chuck alone, huh? You ain't learned no sense yet, huh?
Did you have a motor on it? Did you have a motor on it? Did you have a motor?
No, I was getting ready to pull it over to it, and then it hit the.
Okay.
They didn't put the pin in the leg to keep it straight up, you know. And when I put it just flopped down and. And I'm glad it didn't catch. I was close enough to it that it didn't get a chance to get up no speed and really knock my behind out. But I told
I'm glad you didn't get hurt.
I got a text. Tim got a problem with pulling pins out. Ask Leon.
Oh, man.
Lord, hammer. Chuck, don't do that, Chuck.
Oh, my God.
I ain't called no name, but. It wasn't Chuck this time. Stokey sent it in.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man.
I'm lying on Stokey.
Y'all know where it came from.
I know exactly where it came from.
Uh-oh. Ooh, wait.
Hey.
Man, dog.
Hey, man. Mm-hmm. Y'all done feel the show up today, and y'all ain't got nothing to talk about, man. I ain't get on the morning show tomorrow. I get on the morning show and be then got tired by the time I get over here. I don't have nothing to talk about when I get over here. I'll be tired by the time I get on my own show. I want to stop getting on the morning show. They don't come over here and help me out. I ain't gonna go help them out no more. I ain't helping them out no more.
You got a point there.
Yeah. Man, they. Skin hit the one button. Somebody on Chef Lee hit the one button, and then they took their hand back down. So they don't realize all they got to do is hit it one time.
They might be hiding in the bushes.
Kid.
Damn,
go ahead and kick the bushes. Come out. Kid been kicking over lately now. Something going on with Kid. He been kicking over. He must got his kid married.
He got a new woman or something, man.
What up, Flop?
I told you,
kick the bushes. I saw you said something. Ain't they got a mercy rule going on around here? I saw something was 10 to 0, man. Where's the mercy rule in effect at?
Oh,
uh-oh,
man.
Uh-oh.
It wasn't a mercy rule.
Oh, okay. I saw something said somebody 10, somebody else 0.
Yeah.
Man.
Goddamn, shouted, throwing a no-hitter.
No
runs, no hits, and no errors.
Damn. Was that the White Sox or the Cubs over the Tigers?
Oh, man.
Damn.
A no-hitter is not a perfect game, kid.
So what?
A no-hitter is not a perfect game.
What is a perfect game?
A perfect game is when you got 27 batters up and 27 down.
Okay.
That's a perfect game.
But what
a no hitter?
You can have a no hitter,
but you still get a walk, or something like that. That's not a perfect game. A perfect game is when you got 27 up, 27 down.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
They tried to shoot 30, but he was knocking them down. He came to the plate.
Kid, will y'all tell me what y'all talking about?
Man, go on this dude Facebook page named Larry Williams, dog.
I seen it, but I can't remember what it was. That kid.
It's detailed in there.
Tell me so I won't have to go look at it, please.
I don't know all the details. Something to do with Skin and Motor City, something.
That's what I've seen. I said Skin 10 and Motor City. Yeah, I've seen it. Okay, that's what I've seen. Kid put that in there. Yeah, I've seen it. But ain't nothing wrong with that. We know if Skin got a name, they probably didn't get a chance, didn't they?
Oh, man.
I know it. He probably that was Kid for that there. Larry Williams for that there. Skin 0, some mob city is nothing. So Skin clean the club on him or something. I know I seen that on Facebook. That's what I was trying to remember where I seen it on Facebook at. Hey, look at man, we got a full show, man. These people waiting on us to tell them something, man, or start some drama or something, man. Come on, man. We can't keep having
what they really waiting on is for y'all. They really waiting on what tomorrow, dog. And see what Bobby gonna say about that race and what they're waiting on.
Man, that damn percentage.
But in the meantime, they can talk. Yeah.
Even I've on the eye, it changes, man.
It changes. Cause I don't see two conflicting reports.
Make plans to go if you plan to go. And if you didn't, you'll just have a little extra time this weekend to do something else if it don't turn out in our favor.
Yep. Got a point there, Flo. Somebody got to start. Since Josh Lowe came on yesterday, he didn't kill my spirit from yesterday. He came on like he was scared of Kate. Damn, that messed me completely up. I was looking forward to that, man. I ain't
been scared of tape, dog. He just
He woke up. He was dreaming or something. He woke up.
Yeah.
Like I'm out.
In other words,
like I'm out to, like I'm out to go. I'm sorry, Tim Mouse. Like I'm out to put a tattoo on your boy behind on what is Jane Black. I'm gonna have to do something. I'm gonna go across the fat part of his ass. I'm gonna go across the fat part of his ass.
Well, I did hear you say that.
Not Jane Black.
I heard you say that openly. You ain't saying it privately, and you ain't saying it incognito. You're going right on.
I heard you say it earlier.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I like that.
But Tim, how did they say you said Jane Black was scared? I ain't never said Jane Black was scared.
I didn't say you said. I said that they were talking about. My point was that they were saying that he was the one basically initiated. He didn't want to come.
They called up. He didn't call down there.
He didn't call down.
Right.
And I said, no, that's not true. Go listen to the show. That's all.
Yeah, all that shit changed up all of a sudden, man.
Because I know he'll go. Because I said, dog, you know that man's his resume. You and that man, he say he's coming. He said he ready. He gonna rate. And that's the bottom line. So I didn't like that. I thought that wasn't true. So I just said, well, let them defend themselves, because we always had a rule before. I don't know what happened now. They used to say you can't get on a man's behind unless he's on there to defend himself. Or you don't get it all. Because if I tell Flop, and then Flop may come and put a little seasoning on it, then he tell Kid, and Kid put a little seasoning on it. Now it got so juicy, it's so far away from the truth. And then we don't know who did what. So everybody want to make it sound sexy. I'm the first one to say it. So that's all. No, I just said, get the man on. Let them defend their own self. That's all. I wasn't trying to do that. But that's it. Man, ain't no big deal. But I'm going to still say this. I'm going to get right back on it, get on my soapbox again. I like the way Josh Lowe was talking to Kemo. He was looking for him. Show was looking for him now. I heard that. I'm going to lean on that one, dog. I got to.
Yeah, ain't it wrong with that, man?
They gonna talk about me. Your car ready? What you doing?
That right.
I won't say this, though. I'll use another way. Chicago just coming over in our town, taking our money back, and defaming us, making us look bad, cowards, jellyfish guys. They sit around with all these high power cars. Ain't gonna do nothing. Get out of here, man.
Sound like you got a case of the hips, there, Tim.
Man, I got a problem, dog. I really do. I'm trying to get it together.
Tim, I gotta say it, man. When you talk all the talk you talking, Tim, it's bad. It's bad for you, Tim, because you got a car. You got a car, Tim. If you got a car,
it's bad about it, dog. A lot of people be hoping they can get their chassis out of chassis prison, or they held up by the engine builder. I got the engine all back, and I just got to get these guys to go. Come on, help me get this thing straightened out here, man. It ain't going to take that long if I got to do it by myself. I'll get it in there.
Well, Ken, you could have towed a boat a day and been through by now.
Yeah, but, dog, it's a difference when you got a shop. I'm over there at the garage, man, and I got to turn the heat on and got four-wheelers and lawnmowers.
Tim, you can tell them boat a day.
I'm getting older now, dog.
Tim, a boat a day.
Watch it.
A boat a day.
You know what I told them? I'm not late. I said, what you mean ain't late? They can't race no way if it's raining or it's cold. It was snowing up here the other day, dog. Snowing.
Mm-hmm.
So they ain't going nowhere. I ain't late yet.
The way jokers be talking. Y'all, I know you. I hate to say it. If I really want somebody, I take that butt down south. I take them down south. I get tired. Ain't nobody gonna stay around me. Ain't nobody gonna stay around me in my zip code and talk shit to me. Nobody. It's got a race car.
Well, see, y'all down there,
nobody.
Dog. Y'all hot.
I ain't over there.
Y'all,
I come up there.
Y'all
I'm just trying to settle. Hey. All I'm saying is, Tim, if y'all really wanted each other the way y'all say y'all want each other, if everybody had all the money they said they had, I don't see what the problem is. Everybody claim they rich. Everybody millionaires.
There's a lot of millionaires up here, dog, but they kind of selfish. They kind of selfish. They ain't going to help you.
I see jokers want to run for $10,000 and $20,000, run for $15,000 and spend $5,000 and get it off your chest. Sometimes you can buy yourself some peace and quiet. Uh-oh.
So in other words, a lot of pump faking. Is that what you're saying, dog?
A whole lot of it. Hope that's body cold. Wheelchair, you over. I hope that's body cold or somebody on there. Hello? Wheelchair, your mic over.
Yo. I see Tim on here running his mouth again.
You don't see him.
I hear Tim on him running his mouth again.
I used to be glad to hear Wheelchair's voice when he come back on. I changed my mind.
Tim.
I'm going back on mute.
Tim, come back on mute.
Okay, here I am.
Look, Tim. Instead of on the phone doing all that talking, you need a 9/16, a half an inch, and a 5/8, and a motor horse. Put the motor in your car and go to somebody's ass.
That's right. That's right, Richard.
Yes, sir.
That's all you got to do, Tim.
Hey, Tim, now let me ask you a question now.
Yes, sir.
Me and all the traveling I do, I pull up Detroit just to see what they're doing in Detroit. I pull up Chicago to see what they're doing in Chicago. I could have swore I pull them up and they got the same temperatures, the same weather conditions and everything. And they get their motor put in over there. What's wrong with y'all weather? Why y'all weather can't get your in D?
You got a point there, dog.
I'm gonna take all these laws away from you. When you present a law over here, I'm gonna take that law from you now. I'm gonna take that law from you, Tim. Talk to me.
Well, kid knows that when it comes across, whatever Chicago get today, we going to get it tomorrow, and it's going to be rough, and then like the other day. That's all I can say, dog. I'm doing the best I can.
My point is, when it's over there in Chicago, they want you to go to work. And then when you know it's coming over to you, then you can go hide. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Another good point, dog.
Thank you, kid.
Kid, I need your help, man. I'm trying to get out of here.
I'm sorry, Tim.
See, Tim, you look out the window and say, damn, Chicago catching hell over there. Okay, then you go out there and do your shit then. And then, see, tomorrow, y'all catch hell, then you go in the house then, Tim.
Unless.
Wheelchair said he will FedEx you a 9/16, a 5/8.
You know, this is the time you said something to Brother Tim. But D coming to the rescue anyway, but they fair to understand that, bro. Tim, you work a job all day. It's not like
two of them.
Okay, he
working two
you
jobs.
You just couldn't
now.
Be quiet. You just couldn't be quiet.
I get accused every time they say to the bro Tim, I get accused of coming to his rescue. So I figure why break the stride.
Well, hold on now. While you coming to his rescue, why don't you get off your ass and get your shit running?
See, here's the deal. I don't need it when it comes to my rescue. I can give you my outdate. I got outdate on mine.
Exact date.
I got
the exact date.
I can
give you the date.
I'm listening. Let me write it down. Let me get a pen. Hold up. Let me get a pencil. Come on,
D. The very day that is finished.
That was not a date. No, that ain't a date.
That's the exact date.
That is not a date.
June, July, August. See, they're not at my disposal. I'm at their disposal. They're not waiting on me. I'm waiting on them. So I can't
go ahead and tell them the truth. That song is gonna sit right there at the door, ready to be loaded up. D.
Hold up. Hold up now, Brother D brought up. Every time Brother D bring up a point, he have a good point. Hold up, Brother D. You brought up an excellent point. Y'all got jobs. Well, who over there on the other side ain't got no job? Everybody else got a damn job, too.
But the kid is retired.
He
ain't got no race car.
Exactly.
But he's retired. He can come over.
Here's the thing that Brother D. Here's the thing that Brother D. Brother Tim look at. We're only responsible for ourselves. We're not responsible for anyone else. So for those other guys that have jobs and don't have jobs, that's on them. Okay, well,
who you think we're talking to? But we have answered.
Brother Tim has two jobs, so he can't just spend all day working on a car. He
Brother
works for the
Tim,
state and the government.
Now, hold up. Time out.
Get to his car when he can.
Hold up, Brother D.
He would love to
hold
spend
up.
Time. Okay.
Hold up, Brother D. If all he had to do was say what you're saying now, all he had to do is say, I can't get my car ready because I'm working too much. He ain't never said that.
What? The thing that a lot of people miss, bro, Tim. Oh, I got you. D. Cocker got you, bro, Tim. D. Cocker got you.
Okay.
See, the thing that a lot of people miss, and Brother Tim, as long as we said, we should have filed a motion on this as a suppress. But a lot of people, we tend to think that they would just automatically know that when my client come on and say something about Chuck, it's just joking to keep Chuck at bay. We just try to keep Chuck at bay until we are done. Once he get done, he ain't going to be like a cobra. He going to strike out.
The sharp version y'all scared.
We find that
Brother Tim is not scared of nothing. He don't find nothing on earth yet that he was scared of. He's not even scared of a rattlesnake. We try to see it before it sees us and we can get away from it. But under Article 9, Section 3, Penal Code 5, you will find that on the day of judgment, Brother Tim won't show up.
That's right.
I understand now what a filibuster means.
I'm gonna be on Chuck behind like a pimple. He can't sit down. He's irritated. He can't stay up. He's irritated. He can't scratch because he's gonna be irritated. That's all it is. That's all.
Ego again. Chuck.
Hope
if it ain't Chuck, it's chemo. If it ain't Chuck, it's chemo.
You know what? Tim, Chuck got a job. He got his car together.
Chuck is a mechanic. He do that kind of stuff.
Chuck just ain't on the phone running his mouth about what he's going to do.
Come on, wheelchair.
Damn, man, that's a short version.
Wait a minute, kid.
Shut up, dude.
I thought you was on mute. Well, now the wheelchair came on, I'm gone now.
Yeah, he kind of knocked all the fuzz off around your ears on that one.
Knocked all the dust off of it.
Yeah. Damn, how long you been holding that one in?
Yeah, I got a meal with dog. I'm trying to put some fire behind Tim.
I stepped out, bro. What did they say to you? I stepped out for a moment. Get his car together.
He's back again.
The last thing I heard was Chuck.
Tim House. I just got a text from Cal City Cal. He said he got a job too, but his car's
gone.
Hey, kid. I have to correct you on one thing.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You and me and others can call him Cal City Calvin or whatnot. Tim has to call him Mr. Gordon. It's Mr. Gordon Tim House.
Right. Yep.
Mr. Gordon. They don't even call that on the job. They don't even call that on the job. Well, Wheelchair, what you got on this side of the world, Wheelchair? We got a full show. They waiting on something, man. I feel bad.
No.
I ain't got nothing to bring them, man.
I got the direction to steal Alabama.
Yeah.
That's where I be at.
I gotta make sure I get some. I'm gonna put some snuff in Tim's mouth. He hollering that James Black all the time.
Is Tim going to steal Alabama?
Come on, man. Come on now. We're having a serious conversation over here. Come on, man. Maybe he can take his vacation.
Now, wait a minute. Wheelchair. You see me all the way down in the Carolinas. You know I've been all the way down to Huntsville.
Man.
You know I'm
man,
over
gas there. Was $1.09 for premium back then, man.
Yeah, but I got to take a little extra time. Dog said,
Carolina,
put
long
one
way
bolt
from
in
Alabama.
Dog said, put one bolt in at a time, Tim. And
now you're going to use that now. You're going to use that now.
No.
I should have used
If he had just been quiet, be quiet, and put one boat in at a time, he still would have been finished with the car by now.
Yeah, you got a point there, Wilcher.
Hey, dog, what you going to get on James Black ass with?
Oh, shit.
He told me to wait the Thursday. Whether or not it's going to be the regal or not, and I'm glad they did it because I do sort of do a little shakedown, man. That's all
dog. Excuse me, dog. I got to do this right quick. That ain't the way you do me. You would answer that question at least 15 times, the same stupid question. Now, he come up, dude, you don't say nothing to him. But me, you be ready to tear my behind up. Well, you don't get on him.
Excuse me, Mr. Ryle.
You answer that question at least 4 times today, and now he come
excuse
back
me, Mr. Ryle.
Mr. Timothy
Ryle.
One-sided, man. Hey,
Mr. Ryle, didn't they explain to you today that you can't do what I do?
Your flow. Didn't the boat could have been timed by the time he got fanning with that.
Man, all that energy he just used, he could have jacked the car up, man, had it up in the air and everything.
Yeah.
Since
Brother D always saving him, I don't know why Brother D couldn't swing by there on his lunch break or something and turn a boat too. That'd be 2 boats a day, you know. 2 boats a day they'd have been through.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So I wonder, Brother D, are you your brother's keeper? Brother, he didn't clicked over. Now he's gonna come back like Bobby Cole. Now talking about what he missed.
See, I already know what D is going through. That Buick calling his name. He got the answer. That Buick is calling his name. He got the answer. I know that. So I'm not gonna put no added pressure on him.
How many times can you call holler wolf, man? How many times you can cry wolf?
But dog. Now you got to be honest. Now, when I said I was going to be at 131, hope they ain't checking.
That goes skin. Y'all better hope this ain't skin. Okay. Y'all might really hope
this
ain't skin.
Why y'all keep thinking this skin, man? This ain't skin. James Black looking for you.
I just
heard somebody scream my name.
You got to talk to your girlfriend, Tim. He the one hollering your name. I already told him. Thursday, we'll find out. Come Thursday, I'm going to make you
that
back up, boy.
Flop that said that. That wasn't me. That was Flop. Mr. Vincent.
You're going to put it on you.
That wasn't me. I said, y'all let
like James Blackpool be somebody tough.
James Black.
Oh! Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf.
Hey, dog, hold on, dog. Watch this.
Yeah.
Now, you see, when Josh Lowe was looking for chemo, he can't be found. Now that all the big bad wolves is gone, now he show up. Now he want to be over there with James Black. I need to hear my Tarzan stuff because all of a sudden now,
he's over there with James Black.
Man, you over there. Now he trying to get over there with James Black. Hey, listen to this vine jumper. Man, come on, man. Now you over there with James Black. He definitely
I'm finna find,
James
I'm finna find it for you. I'm finna
that's
find
what
it for
I
you.
Need it,
I'm finna
dog.
Find it for
that
you.
Darn chemo love to jump from vine to vine. Every time I turn around, this guy, he on some vine swinging.
Oh, Lord. Not the vine swinging. Not the vine.
This guy. That's him. That's him. Oh, chemo, man. Right, Kim, I got another text, Kim.
They said, if you don't ever get your car fixed, you don't ever worry about you won't have to worry about losing.
Damn.
They said, that's why you won't fix your car. Hey, man, I'm just call the way I see it. I'm like the umpire, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I told Kim, he puts himself in those situations.
I think I agree with that, Skin, but it ain't good to have, I don't like it, where it's okay for chemo to do it, but it's all of a sudden it's wrong.
Hold up, Skin, let me talk to you for a minute. I got to ask you a question. What do you mean you call Kamala Harris, right?
Kamala.
Now, Skin. Anybody that's in the same category that you in, if you wanted them so bad that you talk about them through your day, night, and ain't you gonna go get them? If you can go get them, if they got the same kind of
man, that's an understatement. Huh? I'm gonna be in their motherfucking garage.
Why do Tim House call doggone Chuck names 77 times a day, man, and won't do nothing about it?
Well, can I tell you why I think he called his name?
Come on, man.
He don't like that Muffin Chuck raising all this hell and came to Detroit and did this. And you know, Tim House got, Chuck got that, like, very white voice. Motherfucker, I'll kick your ass. They can't take that. You know, it sounds like he's scolding them, but he's regular talking. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
you know that motherfucker be on the corner? That gangster be on the corner? Motherfucker, if you cross this line, I'm going to beat your ass. See, that's not Tim House. They scared him. So Tim House trying to stand up to him because he weighed 300 pounds. He's trying to stand up to him, but he really scared. Tim House really scared.
Like a fly gangster.
That's the best way I can describe it.
You got a point there, Skin.
Can I try to convince himself? You know how you try to convince yourself, I can do it. Man, I know I can beat this guy. I know I can beat him. Just let him come over here, man. I'm going to hit him in his mouth. I'm going to beat his ass. You know, Tim Robbins, you know, he's trying to convince himself that he can whoop him.
Damn, Tim. Brother D fell off, y'all. You better call right back. I hope he got his spot back because it doesn't feel back up on him.
Hold on.
Yeah, he got back in. Yeah, Brother B. Brother B, you fell off and called right back, didn't you? You better be glad. I just said it. I said if he called right back, he can get his slot. But if he don't, it doesn't feel back up. He can't get back in there. So you got what you got to say about what Skin said about Tim House? What you got to say about that?
I'm back, dog. Well, to be truthful with you, dog, I was off. But I could just about imagine what was said. I heard the last bit of they thinking Bro Tim got to convince himself. Bro Tim has nothing but confidence. He's not worried about the race. Bro Tim just needs to find a little more spare time to get a chance to work on his car. He's a very busy person. And Bro Tim, you know, his footsteps are not as long as they used to be. He's a little older now. And this is why he hired me on as an attorney so I could speak for him. But like I said, under Article 7, Section 3, under Penal Code 3, we will find that up on the day of oil pressure, and we find up Brother Tim will be tuned
Since you're such a good friend of him, why don't you swing by there on your lunch break and have him get his car fixed?
But see, we both find ourselves in the same situation at some point in time.
I told them that Buick is calling your name, and you have to answer.
Yeah, she pimped me. Yeah.
He's bringing up the Buick.
It's okay to be pimped as long as you're being pimped by the right hand. It's okay to be pimped, right? See, those Buick is pimping me.
Hey, Brad D,
I thought you was his lawyer, man. He started talking about your car.
Well, no, boy, he ever said anything wrong. My client
you,
said anything
no,
wrong.
No, I get it.
It's
but you're talking up. You're defending the Big Red. You gonna bring up a goddamn Buick?
But the thing with that is that Bro Tim already know that when we speak of Big Red, he know that we do a lot of run on, and what we don't run on is when you just carry on into something else, and he knows it's gonna carry right on into a low round, so he knew that ahead of time.
And I understand. Lead attorney.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is you're defending Big Red. The Buick is not on trial. The Buick ain't been talking about no Chuck and all that old shit and what he going to do. We talking about the Big Red, motherfucker.
Yeah. No, I'm taking that emotion.
So, I mean, we already know the Buick going to do what he do when he come out. The Buick ain't bragging and boasting.
The thing with Big Red, is that, you know, a lot of them, you know, they take what he says when he cracking at Chuck and stuff. And they take that as he should be ready, but that's just look away, further look away for, you know, what Brother Tim is doing. It's the okey-doke he's throwing. He's keeping Chuck off balance, what he's doing. You know, we talked about that in our last section, is to keep him off balance where he don't know, you know, what.
You
know, Monty sing a song and he's coming.
Are you on your knees and asking God for forgiveness, man? Man, all them lies, you just told it.
Hey, but I'm going to say this, though, and I'm not defending that lawyer, but all lawyers lie. They got to lie to defend their client. Hey, if you go by what you said, dog, ain't a lawyer in the world going to heaven. What's wrong with you, dog?
Yeah, got a
problem. I don't know no lawyer in the world that's going to heaven if they got to get there by telling the truth. Man, I'm going to burn in hell.
Hey, boy, if it don't fit, we must have quit. If it don't fit,
that's
we must have
quit. I hear you.
How is Chuck off balance? How is Chuck off balance? Just in case the weather hold up, he'd be down in Steele, Alabama racing. How's he off balance?
But see, he's down in Steele, Alabama. He's racing down there because he's trying to get Brother Tim off his mind. See, right now he have a full basket of Brother Tim. Brother Tim is resting, rooted in a bind in his mind without paying any rent right now.
Hey, dog, you need to
have
him, buddy. You can't handle him, man.
Man.
Hey, dog.
I've been at a headache, man.
Let me give you some allergies. I'm finna give you some
allergies.
That might be their tactic. That don't mean it's working. They think they showing Chuck off. Man, Chuck ain't been most cutting him in the manner.
You think I don't know that?
Hey, man.
You think I don't know that?
Do you
know Tim House could actually, if he would, but
he ain't smart enough to do it, and that ain't his forte. You know, he likes doing the shit that he do. But Tim House could really treat Chuck, man. He just don't know what the fuck he's doing. That man could treat Chuck, man. If his lawyer sat down, if his lawyer just said, hey, look, Tim House, he can grab a hold of his motherfucking neck and strangle his ass a little bit. They can treat Chuck, man. Chuck don't get no fucking
But see, here's the thing right now. Like I said, my client's living rent-free. And at this present time, it's not even a conscious thought of his to try to trick his opponent. He just want to finish the service that he has for Big Red. Once he has finished Big Red, he's got it dialed in and get it down the track. You know, then Bro Tim going to turn up a notch or two. Yeah. He's going to step off the cloud. Yeah. Right now, see, he's on cloud 3. Yeah. He'll be on cloud 99 as soon as
Lead attorney. He's been tuning that motherfucker for 3 years, man.
Well,
see, and all that is just, you know, that's the illusion we like to give, because see, the reality to it all was that we just received the engine a few, give or take a day or two.
Yeah,
we just received the engine back a few months ago.
Yeah, what? You
the young man that did it, the young man. No, you know, perfection takes time, you know. That's time process.
I got a headache.
Greatness, greatness don't come overnight. You know what I mean? It's funny because I was looking at some videos today. And
put your earplugs in, dog.
Greatness, it just don't come overnight. It takes time to assure greatness. And he have assured Brother Tim that I do my part, and you just got to do your part. Bro, Tim's part is going to be, you know, we're looking for a few good employees now that we can hire on to that lawn service, which will spare some time for them.
You mean to tell me, Lee, the attorney, that it took him all this time to fix that motor and then take a picture of it and send it around the flop?
Yeah, well, see, the thing with that was that the pictures, I instructed him to send the pictures out. And the reason I had him send the pictures out, the pictures deal was, it was sort of like just to get in the head of the race of them knowing on our way back, even though we knew we wasn't coming back at the time. So that that entitled him to be a conversation piece. When we don't have to be, you know, we don't have to talk ourselves to be a conversation piece. I instructed him that. Yeah.
I object, Lee Attorney. I object to this here. Why would you give the rest of these clients and my client, why would you give all these clients room to go faster? Why would you wait all this time? Why would you show them
the motor
6 months ago?
The deal with that, you know, is that they don't know how fast they can go. They have not a clue how fast my client and Big Red gonna go. You know, they have not a clue at this moment.
I hope he go faster than you to get it fixed.
All we know right now is that we got some of the best tuners in the racing nations calling us. They're big and they're trying to come on the team. You know, Phil Schuler called us, Big Country called us. Hubbard has called. All those guys are calling, trying to offer us their service for Big Red. And they don't want to work on continuous pay. They want to work for free. They don't want to work on pro bono. They're offering to pay us.
So what y'all
going to
do?
We haven't decided right now at what direction we want to go in as far as the tuner. We like to keep our options open at this point in time.
I got a headache, kid.
Yeah, I got me. I got me a slight one too, but I'm trying to overcome it right now.
We got to get Josh over here.
I just wanted to bring in a witness I'm bringing in Brandon, and I was just letting him that Brother Dog is got me in the hot spot here, Brandon, and
but we know
Brandon's
gonna race, man. Brandon waiting on you. He waiting on you to produce that raggedy ass car. He's gonna go on now.
You fucking with Tim House again?
I was questioning him. I was questioning him, seeing what was going on.
Hold up. But if I am Brandon, ain't a damn thing you can do about it. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
Hey, we on the show?
No.
Yes.
No, I ain't gonna cuss too much.
Hey, House, you're gonna have to call me in the morning when I can cuss a whole bunch.
Lord, have mercy.
Hey, Brad. That's about all you can do is cuss, because you damn sure can't read.
Hey, Brandon, I mean, I know you're not going to tell me, man, but would you go over there and help him out fix that car, man? Because there ain't no way in the world it done took him 6 months to pick that motor in that car, man.
Yeah.
I'm on my way. Leave the garage door open. They're sitting on the back of the car out there. I'm going to be on my way.
Not with you.
Leave the garage door open over there on the back, on the trunk of the Cadillac, and I'm going to
Now what's your
man,
excuse?
Man, you know ain't no Cadillac in that damn garage, bro. Don't do that. Now don't start no new fucking case on this boy. I put a case on that man. Because if that man got a black wing, I'm going to give his ass 20 in the break like I did Doc. Fuck it. I'm going to give him a dub.
Big house, leave it on the back of the Cadillac. I'll be over there in a minute.
And now you agreeing to that, Tim Out? You agreeing to leaving it on the Cadillac, right? I want you to lie to me. You had no Cadillac.
You ain't got no choice.
I don't want to hear that lie. Tim Out, you going to leave what he needs you to leave on the back of the Cadillac?
Hey, Tim Out, is Brandon scared of Chuck? Is Brandon scared of Chuck, Tim Out?
Hell no.
Now, I could answer that for you. He ain't nowhere near scared of no damn Chuck. Tim Out,
well, now, he ain't got Wesley Snipes, so what else he got to back himself up with? He ain't got Wesley Snipes now.
Shit, man, that man to go get hit. Yeah, he'd take Lil Wheel car and try that motherfucker. If Lil Wheel ever fix the motherfucker. He got another car he can drive and try to chuck.
I don't hear nobody but some hot wind mother on here pumping hot air. All I hear is somebody pumping hot air.
No,
that's
I hear what
I hear.
You're saying, but, Brandon,
hey.
Now would you run Chuck? I don't know why you think you're going to run him. I know you're running.
Listen,
I'll take that big son of a gun. I beat Chuck's ass. I'll take Lil Wheel car. I'll beat Chuck's ass. I'll take
Damn.
Big son of a gun. I'll beat Cal City Cal ass.
Damn.
Well, hold on. When are we going to beat some of these ass instead of just talking about it?
Hold on, my phone clicking. I'm going to call you.
Hey, Brandon, wait no Tim Out. He waiting on Tim Out. Dog, the man ain't got no safety. He can't goddamn
play.
I hear all these ass whoopers,
and that's all I've been hearing. Ain't seen no reason.
Damn, Brandon.
You're going to get a case,
Brandon.
He got nasty. He said, Cal City, Cal, and Chuck, all this motherfucker.
I was just reading the text message that Tim had sent me. That's what
they
said on that stuff.
Oh, Lord.
I just got a phone call. So I'm waiting on both of them.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
And y'all know who that was from. That was from Chucky Chuck.
Damn.
Yes, sir.
All right, now, we got all that noise. Give me a little bit of that noise, y'all got.
It's probably in my background.
I'm in the shop.
Yeah. Okay.
Chuck ain't standing no more. Tim, I'm worried about him. Every time he wake up, he think about it.
Brandon said, what Brandon say? In the shop.
Ain't Tim House over there?
Hell no, Tim House car ain't over there. He wasn't on some other shit getting money. For the
crew. Tim House trying to work on his own car.
He working on his own car. He going at his own pace.
If I'm Brandon, ain't no way in the hell I'm going to come over here and put myself in the front of these pump faking jokers, making myself look bad.
What up, Flop?
Yeah.
Brandon got his own shop. Tim House car at Mr. Willie's house.
Oh man, not Mr. Willie's.
So that's why it's taking him so long. He gotta wait till Mr. Willie available for him to go.
Oh man.
Rent.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
See, they got to get their circuit breaker fixed first, the one that keep tripping the compressor. So the compressor keep cutting off. Hey, Willie Dawg, since you got an opportunity in the show, you said you don't practice your show. and you have special guests on here sometime. Can you find out why Chemo ain't doing nothing with his car ready and the go? He ain't doing nothing. I'm trying to figure out something.
I leave.
I don't want to hear all this. If I got excuses, you got excuses. What's the difference? If you got excuses,
I ain't
got excuses.
No motherfucking car, boy.
I'm asking
Damn.
You one simple
and
question.
Call the man a boy.
If you got
and call the man a boy.
He got excuses, dog. I want to know why it's okay for him and this ain't okay for me. I got a problem with that.
You got a point there.
Wait a minute, dog. You guys are more relaxed and patient with Chemo. He been 11 years. I ain't nothing but a couple of years. I'm trying to get there.
Can I tell you the difference? Mr. Tim?
I don't really want it. Chemo ain't saying nothing about looking for Chuck. He talking about whooping the bottom feeder.
How you going to say what I'm saying and you ain't even let me finish, Tim? Like you told me today.
I'm just tired of everybody always defending Chemo. He can say what he want to say. I'm whooping all the bottom feeders. I'm cleaning up Detroit. You ain't did nothing. Get up there.
I got to clean you up first, Tim. Tim,
you got to make an appointment.
I know, Tim. I don't want to go nowhere and raise nobody.
Is
the mic open? Can I be heard?
I'm just curious now, dog.
Y'all listen to Chemo, and y'all let him get away with this shit right now. Here go my thing.
Did he build the car just for Tim House? Yes, I did.
I mean, it's a lot of other people that's interested in running Chemo, and he himself not doing it.
So why is he riding my uncle? Is the family project done yet?
It used to be doing what I'm doing, staying the fuck out the way.
But why are you on this phone, then?
Because you on my uncle house case and you ain't doing shit. And you ain't. Hey, dog, hold on. I thought this show was meant for the racers who are worthy of the airtime. Chemo ain't worthy of no goddamn airtime.
This show for the racers, 90% of the motherfuckers need to hang up. I'm just saying, dog, I thought this show was meant, you know, you do bear reports and all this shit.
This nigga here don't make the Cub Scout report. Why the fuck is
come
he
on,
here?
Come on, mister. How long you been holding that in,
why
mister?
Why the fuck is he on here?
Hey, dog, hold on. This real shit, dog.
That's the only joke he got. Oh, you can't do it. He done ran that shit in the ground for 8 years. But let me tell you something, dog. Hey, dog, I'm married, right? Hey, dog, I'm married and got four kids. The last time a motherfucker seen Chemo race, nigga, I was in high school. I got four kids and a goddamn wife right now. That nigga ain't racist. I was in high school. Man, if Chemo don't get his little ass away, how long you been holding that in, mister? Don't nobody want to hear that shit. Hey, dog, I swear to God, when Song Zero came to run, I was in fucking high school. Nigga, I've been married 8 years, got four kids. I don't want to hear that shit. My daughter damn near in high school. What the fuck is he on here for?
Hey, Chemo, you better get one of them amplified. Mr. got one of them amplified-ass phones. I can't hear you. You got an amplified-ass phone.
Because he ain't talking about shit. You know why you can't hear him? Because he ain't talking about shit. He's not talking about shit. You would hear him if he was talking about something. But since he ain't talking about shit, he ain't doing shit. Him and the whole damn crew ain't none of them niggas over there doing shit. But then he always on Tim House case. See, he think it's safe to talk about Tim House. But then as soon as these other niggas say something to him, the first thing come out his goddamn mouth, I ain't thinking about no cop. Well, if you ain't thinking about no cop, sit your big black greasy ass down and listen to the goddamn show. We was listening to the goddamn show, but you done got your Joe Frazier looking ass on here and want to talk about Tim House. If you would have sat your motherfucking ass down, then everything would have been cool. But now you want to come on here and talk this shit. But as soon as somebody else comes, you ain't thinking about no race car. Nigga, we know
Josh
you ain't
Lowe,
thinking about no race car. Because I was
Lowe
in a shit fucking
him.
Grade the last time we seen you out.
What you did, man.
Damn.
Josh Lowe said,
that was
Lowe,
wild
Lowe. Get Kimo on the phone.
You on your daddy, ain't
get him on.
Hey, Kimo.
Get Josh Lowe on the phone. And we'll see what's happening. Get Josh Lowe on the phone. We'll see what happens.
Oh, man, not the Josh Lowe.
I got to go answer the phone. I'll be back.
All your crew did anything
we raised more than you have in 11 years.
Oh,
we
man.
Raised more
that's
than
11
you
year
high.
Mr. Jump on here and the daddy can't do a burnout.
Hey, dog. I feel like I got the green light to come on here. See, I told you. You never hear me on your show. Because I'm not worried to be on there. But when you get a nigga like Kimo, when you get a nigga like Kimo on there, then this must be the this must be the amateur hour. So since the amateur hour,
man, not the amateur hour.
Don't tell me Tim House would have got Mr. too. He would have got Mr. too.
Huh?
Come on,
dog.
Kimo on here doing all this goddamn woofing, and the last time he did, I was a pissed up fucking
You think Mr. remember his high school colors the last time Kimo raised? High school colors.
Black and gold. Angry Panthers. Black and gold. That was the last time Kimo did something. I was in 10th grade, Flop. I was in 10th motherfucking grade. And
that was quite a while back, man.
The last time this big, black, greasy motherfucker did something. The only guy... Flop. Hey, Flop.
Yo.
How the fuck is he going to ride him out? And don't nobody know you, boy. Who the fuck this nigga is. And he always told this motherfucker whooping. And I was going to bring up some shit he did in 2006. Boy, if you don't shut the fuck up, don't nobody want to hear that bullshit you talking about, nigga. Nobody. Don't nobody want to hear that bullshit you talking about. Until you get your big black greasy ass.
Look, got a new battery in that phone. He must got a new battery in that phone. That's what he's
lying. I like that, y'all.
I've been saving it for Joe Frazier looking motherfucker.
Damn.
I've been saving it for this nigga.
Oh, man.
Kimo, we can't hold you, Kimo. We can't hear you, Kimo.
You'd rather deal with Josh Lowe.
Of course you can't keep talking about shit, dog. And don't call that nigga Kimo no more. That's Joe Frazier, smoking Joe. With his
man, not smoking Joe.
Smoking Joe.
Really?
Don't call that nigga Kimo no more.
I can't hold nothing. I'm going to tell it all. This is already, the water already stirred. Kimo the one told me to find out about Mr.'s resume. That's what he told me. I told him, man, you need to try to add a copy to his resume.
Kimo been talking about this motherfucker Joker, goddammit, since Bubba was an infant. Now, Bubba damn been grown and got kids on his own. Now, the first lie he told was that he couldn't do nothing because he was putting his son through college. I respect that.
First
but
lady,
goddamn it, Bubba been in college 15 motherfucking years. Now, don't hold on.
Bubba
been in college 15 goddamn years. So, when he going to start with that line? Hold on, D.
That's the first
he said he was putting Bubba through college. Now, when you know a nigga to go to college for 15 goddamn years?
Oh, man.
Again.
There ain't no doctor?
Before that,
no
said Bubba had a full ride. How do you pay when someone got a full ride?
Well, you got a point there, D. You got a point there.
Hey, dog.
That's the first lie he told. And he been, hey, that's the first lie he told. And he been
Mister, let me get there right quick. Hey, dog, did he turn around and told me it was 8:30 at night. He talking about he talking to a recruiter when Josh Lowe was calling his name. Man, what person is calling you from a college at 8:30 at night? They ain't got time. They going home, man. They ready to go to bed.
Hey, dog.
You know
hey,
line.
Dog. Let me answer that.
But
you know what university calling 8:30 at night?
Talk to me.
Parking
to
lot
me.
University. Parking lot university.
That's
oh,
the man, not the
parking
lot.
That's the parking lot. If you don't get your big, dumb-looking ass up out of here, I told him, I don't know why he let Kimo big, black, nasty, ashy ass talk to him like that. That nigga first cousins to Dre. Him and Dre first cousins.
Oh, man, not him and Dre. Not
that's
the cousins
going
Dre.
They're going too far now. That's going too far.
Y'all very disrespectful.
Oh, Lord.
Talking that bullshit
to
Big
House.
I try to tell you, dog.
They not going to all tell the truth on me, dog. I'm telling you, it's rough out here, man. Kimo been over there talking about.
Kimo doing just as much racism as Dre doing.
No, what is he talking about?
Oh, man.
Ass horses.
Hey. We ain't got some reinforcements today, then. We ain't got some backup today, then.
No, he come on yesterday for you to try to challenge me. I beat that nigga and everything. I put that nigga in front of me and beat him out the door. He can't even beat me getting out the door.
Kimo,
don't
you bring that ass on back in here. You wanted to be on the big stage, nigga. Come on.
He want to beat. He can beat me doing something.
Oh, come on. You know he ain't coming off. If he thought Josh Lowe was on, he ain't coming. He ain't coming to Josh Lowe on here. Then I asked him a simple question.
You
said,
got how many? How much
somebody
time
else
left
asked
to
too.
School
they said,
year?
Hey, Chuck.
Now
Kimo,
all together,
would you run each other?
You left high
they
school,
said, yeah.
How
did y'all go do something?
All I need is sugar.
I ain't doing nothing.
Another dumb move. That's why he got hit with a death.
And y'all talking about me.
Yes, sir. I ain't never heard that one before.
I ain't never heard you say, I put a nigga in front of me and beat him out the door.
Yeah, beat that nigga out the front door. Let him stand in front of me. Beat him out the door.
Man, quit making that man say that word, bro.
Okay. But I had never heard that saying. I'd have heard a lot of old sayings. I'll put that guy in front of me and beat him out the door.
That wasn't kids saying the man can't even lock in his back. Can't even lock his door.
Kimo can't beat me doing but one thing, and that's looking at this.
Oh, man.
Now, dog, I want you to ask something. He said he's paying for Bubba to go to school. Now, my wife is 1 year away from completing her PhD, right? She'll have a PhD in one more year.
That's right, my baby will
now,
be a doctor.
How many goddamn years is it going to take for him to finish paying for Bubba to go to school? When is he going to stop telling that lie? She's been seven years up in high school. What are you going to do? Tell another lie.
That nigga told one lie. He's been lying ever since. He's been lying to the end of Kimo.
Bubba's a freshman.
Unauthorized liar.
He's not a like freshman. A bad skin rug.
Hey, dog, I done told Kimo about setting that line. Me and Bubba, 1 year apart, goddamn. We the same damn age, and he's 30 talking about he paying for college, for Bubba to go to college, and we the same goddamn age.
Oh, Lord.
Bubba, no trouble.
Bubba's a freshman, dog. He's a freshman.
Y'all get up off of Kimo. Kimo can walk. It might be short step, but he can walk. Get up off of him. Let him have his way. Let him dream on.
He can run off the phone now. We can run him out of here now.
He want to dream. Let him dream on.
Come on, dog show. Tell her that. He thought he was going to get some fame and notoriety.
All you got to do is tell him the Buick is ready. If you tell him the Buick is ready, watch how quick he show up at the track with a car.
Hey, dog, I promise you this. You know I don't come on your show and say nothing, but every time every time Smoking Joe get his black ass on here, I'm coming. I'm coming.
Not the Smoking Joe.
Yes,
Smoking
sir.
Joe
I'm
Kimo.
Coming.
Kimo.
Kimo, stop while you behind, Kimo. Just stop while you behind.
Try to tell you, dog.
Who
that in there? Mister, that you back there with all that noise?
I'm about to do something else Kimo don't do, dog. I'm about to take me a bath.
That man
don't even drink water. They don't let nobody get in it.
Lord have mercy.
Y'all got too much stuff going on.
I'm
gonna do something he don't never do. I'm gonna do something he don't do.
He don't even have a tub in his bath.
Come on, man.
Oh man!
I like that one.
Not even a foot tube.
How long Kimo done had that Mustang? Now they say DKO, but that shit Kimo got ancient too. Then hell, he been had that shit for 15-20 years. He been putting that goddamn car together damn near as long as I am old. So that shit got to be ancient. The rest done ate all the wires up. The tires dry rotted. Man, Kimo don't get his ass on with that. Hey, dog.
Let me tell you what he did. Allegedly, he bought this car, right? Bro, Tim says, Kimo got a Radio versus the World car. Kimo comes back and said, you knew what it was when I bought it. If he said it, dog, what is he saying he got? Please tell me. What kind of car you saying he got?
Hey, man. Something. Chuck didn't went on doggone it. Chuck didn't went on in no time race and put a said we got a curb report.
He really thought just because he said he bought a Radio versus World car, he thought that automatically made him go fast. I can take my truck and run at Radio versus the World. Last time I heard check Radio versus World was nothing but an event. But again, we on it. Hey, guys, we only talking about Kimo. I wouldn't do this with no
Well, yeah, kid, we Kimo. Need you now. We need you now, kid.
Lord,
there you go. That's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Only talking about Kimo. Can't y'all hear me? Don't you hear me watching the tale about? You all hear me Richard tell about? I bet you're not going to ever hear the Kimo house.
Come on, man.
Don't y'all hear that
water? What's y'all trying to say, man?
The water been cut off for 2 weeks, dog.
I'm going to get in this tub and relax my body, take it easy, and tell one of these young girls to come real home.
D, we don't need to know about all that. That's TMI. We don't need to know about all that.
Hey, kid, can I ask you a question? Don't you know about Kimo and racing? What do you know about Kimo and racing? Last time, Mr. The last time I heard about Kimo racing been damn near 10, 12 years ago.
It was longer than that.
Ozzy been retired 36 years. Last time Kimo raised him and Ozzy was talking.
Oh, man.
Okay, man. Come on.
He always, come on here hollering about the family project. That should tell him something. If we got a family project going. He can't find nobody in the family want to mess with him.
Hey, dog.
He need a family project.
That's guy Booger Wish could have a family and a project. what he was trying to say was a family project. He really was trying
you
to
know
say
what the closest thing the racing Kimo do when he going to load some cars up? He sneak around in the parking lot and make race car noise and shit and put them on the trailer. That's the closest thing he gets to racing.
And up and down 94.
And he only running up and down 94 in that truck. He ain't in no car doing it. He getting them goddamn people cars. I heard him one day. I'm picking up a Maserati. He getting them goddamn cars and make race car noises and put it on the goddamn trailer.
You want to hear something crazy, though?
They're not
I'm 64 years old. Kimo barely 40-something.
Mm-hmm.
He had the nerve to try to challenge me the other day. I take him to the gym and kill him.
Kimo barely 40. He got the oldest, young damn face I ever seen in my life. That nigga looks 60 in the face.
I didn't say his face was 40.
Hey, hold on. His face was 36 years ahead of him. He can't be that close to age to me. That's the oldest looking young motherfucker you know. Him and
Louis
got
that trouble face. That's an ugly motherfucker. Just go ahead and say it.
I'm just waiting to catch him anywhere close to a gym. Now, what he'll do to me.
Hey, dog, have you ever seen Kimo?
Yeah, I know Kimo. Yeah.
But what's Kimo
came in
with him
and my ABC.
I thought that was Joe Frazier.
The 25th letter.
I'm going to get a Joe Frazier.
He wish he had a family. He dreams of the day he would have a family. You all do know he got more than one kid. But you never hear mention of one name, Bubba.
Oh, man, not Hubba Bubba.
Bubba. Oh, you hear mention.
Well, guys, it's been fun. We're going to get on out of here again. Y'all done told Kimo up enough, and ain't nobody else talking about nothing.
We're waiting on tomorrow to find out about the rain. Hey, dog.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm doing right now, dog?
I don't want nobody to get in the tub.
That's after that. I'm about to do me 20 sets of curls right now.
Uh-oh.
And I do me a couple hundred push-ups, and I'll be waiting on Kimo at the gym.
Me and Mr. finna go get us a steak, man. Look here, I'll see y'all. Y'all tune in tomorrow to find out about this rain thing with Bobby Cole after Sister Mary come on. So we'll be on tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We'll holler at y'all tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Good night. I'm finna go see his Kimo taking a bath.
He don't have a bath.